I'd like to start this episode out by reading to you a couple Bible verses about lust, because I don't want to show you graphic images that'll get your pants set on fire without reminding you that it says this, Matthew 5:28, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with his heart." And the reason why I bring that up is because the new actress for Juliet, from Romeo and Juliet, was just released. This is him. Or as I'd say, her. I was really shocked to find out Shaquille O'Neal just recently broke into acting. And I think as you saw from the title, the first thing that came to my mind was, I can shave her. This person has a mustache. And so this is not even a racist episode, which I would love to make. Believe me, I would love to be a little bit racist about this. This is a episode about what the hell is going on in the country. We have ugly people that are now getting acting roles. We are putting the ugliest people to the front, to the black community who gets triggered by my criticisms. I just want to let you know, not even you can defend this, okay? There's no defense here. This person has three lips. So we will be talking about this and so much more. My guest, Scary Gary, will be coming on later in the show. It is approximately 10:10 p.m. Eastern time in the United States. Let's start the show. All right, as I showed you, the new Juliet actress sparks a great conversation today. If you're an audio-only listener, you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. This is an audio-only podcast. You can't see it, and this is a blessing, but it is about as bad as you would think. Also, this podcast is brought to you directly by Censored TV. Up in the corner, you can see you can get a membership to our website, 20% off. Get this show, Gavin McGinnis, and so much more. We're demonetized everywhere, so your support keeps this on the air. Bring in my guest on today, podcaster, journalist, and also someone who's just a little bit silly and retarded himself. Scary Gary, welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
How you doing, man? Hey, it's funny you say I'm slightly retarded. I actually went to the Astros game last night in Houston, and it was Autism Awareness Night, and I was not aware of this. And I went up to the bar to get a beer, and the lady was like, "Hey, like, why are you moving so slow?" And I said, "Sorry, I'm fucking retarded." And she goes, "You can't joke about that." I said, "I'm going to joke about whatever the fuck I want to joke about. Get my beer."
Yeah, dude,
that was my experience last night.
Dude, that's literally, I just saw an interview clip of a man. He's interviewing a homeless clown. This is real. And he was like, "Hey, do you have any advice for people to stay out of, like, to not go down the road you went down?" And all he says is, "Don't trust autistic people."
Yeah, you can't trust them, dude. They're retarded.
We are, dude. Okay, so let's just jump into this, man. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and I'd love to know your initial thoughts there. Like, I know we're trying to keep away from, trying to call us insurrections today. We're trying to keep us away from erections. But you know, with who you are and where you come from, and you see our society, that this, by the way, is the actress that's playing the character that literally drove Romeo, that's played by Tom Holland, to kill himself because he couldn't have her. As I mentioned, this is what apparently is the defining role of beauty today. So we'd love to get introduced to who you are and love to know your initial thoughts on this.
So I am what I would say is just a podcast producer, media producer. My bread and butter is a podcast. It used to be a radio show, now a podcast called Come and Talk It, hosted by Michael Cargill. Cargill is the guy that's suing the ATF and the DOJ for the bump stock stuff after the Las Vegas shooting. We actually just got back from the Supreme Court. We'll know the verdict of that in like a month or so. But that's my main squeeze there. And then I also work with my buddy Uncle Laser and Bobby Flacco on a podcast called The Drunk Uncle Podcast, because we like to get drunk and say wild shit and piss everybody off. And then I produce a couple other things too. I've had a couple beats as a journalist over the past couple of years, but all that's real hard work, and I'd rather just have a good time.
Dude, I think it's funny though too, like you mentioned getting drunk on air and pissing people off. I used to do that, and then I stopped getting drunk on air and thought it would like maybe take down the pressure.
It doesn't.
And then it doesn't stop. And you actually, it's even worse, because now I used to be able to be like, "Oh, sorry, I was just drunk on air."
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, "Oh,
I just don't care.
I'm just kind of like racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, and it's just, maybe that's just who I am. I'm super sorry about that. But anyway, we also call that being based and cool. Dude, I'm happy to have you on today. And I do want to talk about this story because it's not the whole lesson today, but I think this is just genius. There are moments in history where I actually get presented information like this, and I'm so thankful. Like, because, you know, usually women like this, they had two options in life, right? Mm-hmm. They could join the WNBA, and that's not the greatest, you know, choice in the world. Or they could get impregnated by a man and find out what motherhood is like without fathers. And I feel bad. There's not been a lot of options for women that look like this. So the fact that they can now be actresses, I think this is good for the white community, particularly for Tom Holland's career, because that boy is going to have to do some really complex and difficult acting. Like, I mean, when I say he's got to act, he's going to be tested in every way, shape, and form. This man has to look like he's lusting after this woman. He has to commit suicide because he couldn't have sex with her. So I would commit suicide for having to have sex with her.
What's the point of doing this? Like, what are they trying to prove here? What do you think they're trying to prove here? Because in my opinion, it's just this like weird, real far reach into the vast nothingness that is this these diversity quotas we have to fill. I don't see any point in doing this. I don't think anybody feels better about black people or interracial relationships because of this. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe the movie's funded by Gillette. You know, you ever think about that? I mean, this person has a mustache. Like, it could just be one giant shaver commercial.
This might be like a trans angle. They might be going the trans angle here.
You know, I would say this. We could emphasize in transition. I genuinely, dude, I don't know if you know about this, but I had recently explained that the Little Mermaid actress, that, you know, you have to get a visa to travel between her eyes, right? Like, I mean, there's something wrong there. And like, I mean, yeah, you think the culture war is bad in the U.S. Talk about a great division. Just look at that area. And I even called myself ugly in the process. I wasn't being mean. I was like, look, I'm ugly too. I'm not talking shit on a woman for being ugly. I'm just saying, can we stop pretending that this person is attractive? Of course, they made it about race. That's my same thing here.
That's a good point.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, hey, yeah. I'm not saying the black aside, dude, that's so 2016, like race swapping. Right. That's old news. Now we're attractive swapping. So there are hot black chicks out there. I'm not personally into black chicks, but there are hot ones out there. I can't name five, but they're out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an equal opportunity lover for sure. I don't really care who I'm sleeping with, but when I'm watching a movie, I don't want to throw up while watching.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. I feel like this reminds me to not get too serious here because this show's not that serious, but this reminds me a little bit of architecture today, right? How it's almost like they intentionally make it ugly. It's not like you're just poor and you're making fun of someone because they're in El Salvador and they, you know, only have scraps to build a home and you're working with what you got. You're talking about you could be pulling from the hottest of the hottest. This is the industry that could be getting the greatest and the latest, right? I mean, you can place hot girls with younger hot girls. It never even stopped them to put children naked on films, as we know, with Brooke Shields and others before. These people will stop at nothing with their perversion. And now their newest sick fetish is putting people like this on the screen and on the stage. I think this might even be a play, but they're putting these people before our eyes, and I don't know what the point is besides just mocking us.
Yeah, it does seem like it's almost like the people with the money at the top are like, let's see what bullshit they'll buy into next. It does feel like that sometimes. You make a good point though about this is Hollywood. It's the best of the best of the best. You can have the most, you know, beautiful woman. Get Sydney Sweeney or whatever with the titties. Throw her on there, dude. Why not? It's right. Tom Holland. He's a very handsome guy. He's a well put together man, a gentleman, if you will. I just don't, it just doesn't, you have to stay in the world of realism of believability in a film to, you know, to enjoy it. And I feel like this might be taking us out of that realm.
Well, and we gotta talk a little bit about this because we have so much to talk about, including Lizzo and all the stuff going on in the culture. Before we jump into that,
did she quit music?
What happened? Oh, no, she didn't quit. She didn't quit. Fuck. We're going to talk about that. She didn't quit. She's back out here. She has new music coming out. Her BMI still going up. It's all looking uphill for her, especially when it comes, except for walking, which she refuses to do that uphill. Before we jump into that, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor for today, American Hartford Gold. Guys, this is so important. As you know, the American dollar has lost most of its value. I just read that from 2020, the US dollar has lost 25% of its purchasing power, which means that even if you kept your dollar in the bank and you have a 8% interest rate in your savings account, you're still losing out on the value of your currency by over 20%. This is insane because the economy is rigged. This is why you need to make sure that your 401k, your retirement, your savings is backed by multiple and diverse portfolio, including real silver and gold that stands the test of time. We're talking about some king level stuff here. Check out today by calling 855-699-8392 or texting the word offensive to 65532 to find out how you can transfer your retirement, your savings, and invest in gold and silver today. There's also a link in my description. When you reach out to them, know this, two things. They have hundreds of five-star reviews with the Better Business Bureau. They are AAA plus rated company. They have worked with literal hundreds of millions. They said billions, but that's crazy to me. Worth of investments and transfer to ensure that there's a constant growth in your portfolio. Today, they have a special deal for you guys as my listeners. Get up to $5,000 of free silver when you call them today at 855-699-8392 or text the word offensive, OFFENSIVE to 65532. Check it out today. Links in the description. American Hartford Gold. Scary Gary, I spent too much time working in journalism and broadcast TV with those ads. Someone even said that. Like, your podcast is talking about black women's mustaches, and all of a sudden you're like, invest your retirement, your savings, and your 401k today. But that's broadcast. And hey, no one can hate on me. Baby. Yeah, it's like no one can handle me figuring out how to fund this despite being demonetized. I could just not talk about this stuff and make the YouTube money, but yeah. It's not.
Well,
the YouTube money's not worth it.
They've already put you in that black hole forever. Do you ever put anything on Facebook?
I have a Facebook that has over 200,000 followers, and they've messed with 1,000
views, right? Okay, so Cody Wilson, the guy, he's in the firearms industry. He made the blueprint for the 3D gun, right? And then they kind of set him up, and he got screwed or whatever. He was on the podcast Come and Talk It that I produced, and we were talking to him about censorship because in the firearm industry, we deal with that a lot, right? And he told me that he was at SHOT Show and somebody there said, "You're Cody Wilson." He said, "Yeah." The dude said, "I'm the guy that blackholed your Facebook page." So they have technology at Facebook where they basically just drag your account into a folder and you're forever. You're completely shadow banned permanently. So if you could have 200,000 followers and then you only get 1,000 views on a post or what have you.
Oh, it's probably worse than that. I'm going to check that out right now. Because I think it's actually, I was going to say, YouTube's just like that as well. Like all of a sudden you just can't, you can't get anything or go anywhere. Let me see. Slightly offensive. Let's look at this. Let me see if I can get this going here.
You're looking at that, I do have a take on the black mustache lady, Shaquille O'Neal, whatever. I think that when Hollywood producers go out of their way to put someone like that in a film, because I don't really care one way or the other, but what I do think it is a reflection of the mindset of the people at the top of the industry. And I think that people who go out of their way to do that are trying to make up for the guiltiness that they feel because they probably actually are. Like, we can sit here and joke around about this, that, or the third, but they actually probably are like super racist. And they're like, "Oh, this is how I can be a better person." Or they're just a terrible person. That's how they feel better about themselves. "Oh, we'll put this ugly person on here. We'll put the black person on there. We'll put a person with one leg and one arm. We'll put the handicapped, retarded person there," whatever. Like, it just keeps getting to the point where eventually it's going to be like, they're just going to be putting I was going to say pedophiles, but I think that's already a thing and has been for a long time.
Yeah, I was like, they're not putting the pedophiles in there. They're still looking for more kids for the pedophiles. It's kind of the opposite. Right. By the way, there you go. Look, 200,000 followers. One like on a post. The page has disappeared. It's just disappeared.
Crazy. Yeah, so there's no point for you even posting on Facebook anymore.
No, it just now just posts from my Instagram. So goes over there. But yeah, we're talking about like one like. That's statistically impossible. like impossible to have 200,000 followers and get one like. Like, you know, even if you just post your picture of your dinner with like 30 followers, you'll still get like six. But that's literally the case, man. The have you suffered with any censorship? Because what I've noticed is the reason why censorship is interesting, especially for guys like us, or even the guy with the 3D printed gun, and many people who are watching this right now, is that there's a censorship that's tier one. And because we're on YouTube right now, I'm just going to be a little bit careful with the wording, but that's like just straight up making a video, you know, calling Jews kikes and, you know, black people the N-word with the hard R and ranting, where it's like, it's not illegal speech, but it's like, it's easy for them to get you. And they can just go like, oh, well, you're just a bad person. And it's against our guidelines. Like directly, we said you can't use this word and you used it repeatedly, so you're gone. But there's like another level to it, where you never really get told what you're doing wrong. You just know ideologically that they're opposed to the points you're making and that they don't want you to use their platform. And they work as a publisher in this point. They don't like your ideology. So they make it extremely disadvantageous to post on their platforms by either A, making the views to the subscribers very discouraging. So you have 500,000 subscribers and you can't break 10,000 views on a video. Right. It'll never trend, or they demonetize you, so there's no incentive. I mean, and it can get worse than that. But I think that the censorship is so much more complex than always just dragging you into a folder. Sometimes it's like trying to demoralize you and make it so that like you see an ugly black fat chick with a mustache get this huge role with this big actor and get rewarded for being fat, ugly, and subpar. And even if you're at the top of your game, they're reminding not, it's not to you. I think the demoralization is to remind other people, if you step out of line, this is what we can do. So don't step out of line.
They crack the whip. Are you familiar with the term panopticon?
No, please enlighten.
Okay, so a panopticon was, it was an idea for a prison system that was devised, it must have been the 18th or 19th century, by this guy who was essentially attempting to create a system with which a guard could see every single prisoner, but they wouldn't know whether he was looking at them or not, and they can never see him. So it creates the illusion that you're always being watched. So even if you're not being watched, you start to behave like you're being watched. Facebook is a panopticon. The United States government, the NSA, panopticon. It's something that I think everybody should know about. I learned about it a couple of years ago, and I always talk about it when I get the chance, because it is a perfect way to surmise what we're experiencing right now. It's like a perfect form of censorship, essentially, because you don't know if you're actually being censored. That's what shadow banning is, right?
Right. Yeah. There's a sense of a lack of I feel like it's not just a lack of understanding. It's like, we don't know what's happening. But if you do read Agenda 2030, which people should read their social media or their media kit, it talks about creating confusion. Like it literally talks about basically creating distrust in the president so that you don't know who's really running the country. This was before Biden, by the way. You don't know who's running the country and you're unsure. So you're not putting your hope in any one person, so that you have a hopelessness of like, there's no solution, because no matter, even if you shot, you know, Joe Biden in the head, which we're not sponsoring, this wouldn't change anything in the country. That's all I'm trying to tell people. It's like assassinating the president would do nothing to change the country. It wouldn't stop. And that's the demoralization of like, it goes to the media of, you don't know what's true and what's not. And that the media discourages the truth, or I should say it's called malinformation, but counter government information. They describe
like disinfo.
Yeah, disinfo against their narrative, but you never, they don't want it to be like the traditional Clinton, like you're shot in the back of the head, like you go on a speech, you say something, then they shoot you. It should be confusing, to even to the point to where sometimes you say the truth and they let it out so they can prove to you, well, we do let people say that, but only some people in certain controlled situations. And they don't let you. It's very confusing, but it's like psyop warfare.
Yeah. I think they only like to let people that sound fucking crazy say the truth sometimes, because then we're almost discrediting ourselves. You know, when we're talking about if the president was to get assassinated or what have you, and there's no trust in the president, that becomes irrelevant, because the country, as an old friend of mine, John McAfee, told me, the entire country is run by alphabet agencies behind the scenes, the FBI, the DEA, the ATF, they operate on their own whim. That's why Cargill and the NCLA are suing the ATF because they can't write laws. It's not even about bump stocks or the function of a trigger or the rate of fire. It's about the fact that the ATF cannot write law. That's what our legislative branch does. So the president is like a figurehead anyway. You know what I mean? He's like, he's just a figurehead. It's pointless anyway.
Well, yeah, let me go to this real fast. By the way, chat is a little slow today on YouTube. If you guys want to go to Rumble, you can go to Rumble. It's the first week back from Easter, guys. Content is always a little bit slow when you come back from holidays. A lot of people are on Easter break still and stuff. So if you want a more active chat, there's more active chat on Rumble and on Locals. There's a very active chat with extremely... I know that it's slow because it's slow everywhere, but it's still just thank you guys for coming, and also go to the Rumble chat if you want a little more active chat. Also remember too, it is a Wednesday night and people are off work. And so even if you're not watching the show, you'll be back next week. But I wanted to remind you guys that Rumble is better. Everyone's saying, I agree. All right, I want to talk about this. I only want to go on this topic for a little while longer, but I just wanted to point this out. This was who Romeo and Juliet was. And I think that there's this, like you said, this demoralization that happens where, you know, when we would look at a building or a fictional character or a hero, there's something that you can aspire to be, you know, and we're not talking about unrealistic beauty standards and all this toxic masculinity that they use to destroy those functions. It's that a girl would look at this girl and a guy would look at her and be like, wow, she's very pretty. She's a very pretty girl. She's not overtly sexualized. She doesn't have giant boobs. Right. She's not Sydney Sweeney. She's just a pretty girl with nice facial features. And that was, you know, very eloquent. And I think, is that Leonardo DiCaprio?
That is. That's him.
All right. I don't know what girl's obsession is with him. I feel like he looks like a little bit like he has Down syndrome, but whatever. He's like Shane Gillis, but with better hair. So, the thing is about him is like, I don't know, but that girl's like him. But now, like, you know, Tom Holland, I guess, could be Romeo. It's the twink phase. Girls like twinks today. Into that.
It ebbs and flows, you know?
Yeah, we're in the twink era. Right? Hey, look,
the reality of that, though, is that women will always like masculine men, no matter what's popular in mainstream TV.
True. I'm more talking about, it's probably just trying to get like 16-year-old girls. Like, it's probably like selling sex to minors. This is like Disney Channel kind of stuff. But I feel about this, and the reason why we're talking about this so exclusively here is, like, this girl looks like Dom Luca or something from Twitter. Like, meaning, and I mean, he's a friend. It's not a harsh to him. I mean, she just looks like a man. And I don't understand. I haven't had the black community get mad at me yet for talking about this, but I'm trying to understand why we're putting butch lesbians in these roles. Maybe I'm just overthinking it. Maybe we can move on. But I feel like there's got to be some reason for this. And I don't know if it's just, maybe it's just marketing. They just were trying to run the right wing, you know, outrage machine and get lefties to go see it to support or something. Who knows? I don't know, but it just seems like there's something nefarious because they keep doing this, dude, and it's never good.
You know, that actually very well could be what their marketing plan is to just piss people off so that they talk about it. And then it gets, that's free press. That's kind of what Trump did. And he did it in an absolutely genius way.
Yeah, I guess there's not much. I don't even want to go on this anymore, but I want to talk about one more favorite fat person. I'll just leave you guys with this. That's the new Juliet, okay? So if you think that that's hot, if that turns you on, good for you. I'm really happy. All right, moving along here. So everybody knows that Lizzo quit, by the way, and she quit music. She said she was quitting, but she actually has a new message for us. It is ironic to me that somebody who says they don't like negative attention and they don't want people to pick them apart wore this on their video explaining how they don't like negativity. Gary, initial thoughts before you even hear what she had to say.
I mean, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm almost speechless. That really came out of nowhere. I almost feel like it hit me through the computer.
Yeah, I feel like Jesus literally could have risen, you know, somewhere in between that cleavage. I mean, I'm not sure it's sacrilegious, but
rising because of that, dude. Oh my God.
Well, you could make it through. You know, I mean, like that literally is that her cleavage is shaped in the NASA space shuttle. You know what I mean? You see that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not good for somebody to ever be really promoting that they're like completely unhealthy. I don't understand why, like, just that's so terrible. It's a terrible role model. It's terrible. Why would you do that?
Well, let's listen to what she had to say, because this woman who doesn't like negative attention and doesn't like people picking her apart wore this to tell us what she's doing next. Listen.
I want to make this video because I just need to clarify. When I say I quit, I mean, I quit giving any negative energy attention. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting to people. Because I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who is experiencing that negative voice that seems to be louder than the positive. If I can just give one person the inspiration or motivation to stand up for themselves and say they quit letting negative people win, negative comments win, then I've done even more than I could have hoped for. With that being said, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep being me. Once again, I just want to say thank you. The love that I've received, whew, means good more God. Than you.
Well, she says that she's trying to help people to stand up. And that's going to be quite difficult for someone of her size, yeah. I'm sure. But none of this makes sense to me. Like, genuinely speaking, I just don't get it. Also, that's just, is anybody into that? I don't know.
So she just spoke for 1 minute, 11 seconds and said almost nothing. That was impressive. I mean, that was the most vapid, vacuous nonsense that I've heard somebody spew in a long time. Look, people like her love negative attention. They thrive on it. If she didn't like negative attention, she would go to the gym and get in shape. Period. That's exactly what it is.
Well, and also what I think too is we'll be going to a segment called Are Women Okay? Because I have, by the way, we're covering culture today because I'm supposed to be having a big debate on Friday that could possibly get our YouTube channel taken down. So I'm like, you know what? We're just going to talk about just some culture stuff. We're going to talk about this stuff, but it's really hard these days to not say things that will get you taken down. And what makes me angry the most is there's nothing that we will say on this show that is not objectively true. And so censorship is not about policing things that are, you know, illegally harmful, like slander, detriment, right? Defamation, which I could even see censorship taking place. You can't go on and say, Lizzo, you know, molest children or something like that, because it's like, okay, well, if she doesn't, then we'll take that down. That's an untrue statement that could hurt someone's reputation.
Right.
What they're policing today is objective observations that we all believe. It's like, dude, this woman is disgusting. It is just gross. And it's like, and now they're policing being mean, but also, when did the truth become mean? The truth isn't emotional. It just is.
Right. I mean, dude, our opinion can be, she is fat. That also happens to be a fact. She is clearly fat. There's nothing wrong with saying that. It's not untrue. And it's honestly, I don't even think it's really that mean. I think that's a new thing with the body positivity stuff. I mean, in no world do I want somebody to be obese like this. You know, I'd be happier if she was in shape and she would stop getting made fun of. It's a win-win. Somebody just needs to help her work out.
Yeah, women will literally complain about everything except for taking responsibility for their life and losing weight. Like, I've just noticed that. It's like, because I saw this article, right? And I was wondering when this all started. And I remember this article from 2020. That was one of the first times that I remembered, like, hey, we're not doing well, right? Right before COVID started, this was my first suggestion on why COVID started. Why I stopped online dating and started fingering my own ass. And the tags were self-love, three fingers in the butt, and my big ass. And I remember thinking, like, dude, this is right before you heard about COVID. Ugh. It was like, I just Patience knew that things weren't right looking there. Good. Yeah. Things weren't looking good because this was like, that's what I mean. Like, women will literally stop dating and fingering their own buttholes before just taking responsibility and losing a little weight. Right.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, the state of dating and there's bad men out there too, but the state of dating in the country right now is so out of control. I mean, I'm never going to get married, dude. It's I go on the road on to these shows with my comedian buddies, and all these women are all cheating on their husbands, and it's just an absolute train wreck. Look at this lady. Why do you think she stopped dating? She looks completely insane. She looks like a little, like an elf of some sort. Nobody wants to deal with her because she's probably, I mean, if her personality matches the way she looks, she's probably also super fucking annoying.
Yeah, I love how my conclusion is, people say that the dating game is bad because, you know, there's no good men out there. I'm like, you know,
no.
I think it's really the women, because I love females, not only in conservative movements, but just in general, who they look at a situation and they've never had any involvement in it. They could not have ever been to blame for any part of it. It is everybody else's, and everyone else is a monster, and they're just a victim in every way, which to make sense. I mean, that's the way they're built. That's the way their frames are. The issue isn't that they think that way. The issue is that we've socially engineered society in a way that gives them power. So like when people be like, you know, oh, you're sexist and misogynist. It's like, based if true. Like what are you accusing me of being who I am? That's great. Everyone else is a bitch for not being that way. Because sexism and misogyny just means that, like, just like this way you're racist today, if you notice patterns, you're anti-Semitic today, if you're against, you know, blowing up kids in apartment buildings, like, those words just lost their meaning. So if you're saying I just understand the basic differences between men and women, our moral authority, and our ability to relate, and I don't relate with psychos like this, and I don't give them any credence to speak into my life or to speak around me, then hell yeah, brother, let's do it.
I mean, yeah, this lady is so unbearable that she has completely, like, where is your head at when you're like, you know, I'm not going to ever date again. I'm just going to finger my own ass. That's so insane.
Have you tried it? Have you tried it?
Look, man, I don't want to spill too many beans here on the show today, but
listen, dude, I know you were cleaning. You were just cleaning yourself. Your soap. It slipped in. We've heard the excuses before. It was one finger. So it's not gay until it's three.
It's not gay. But you know what, dude? Here's the thing. It's not it. My friend, he works in the adult industry. He told me I want your opinion on this. He told me you're not gay until you suck a dick. Nothing else is gay. What do you think about that? Makes no sense at all.
It's like, okay. That is, I'm not going to go to the porn industry for my advice. On what is normal and not. But for sure. I will say this. Those people are pretty crazy, because I have met people from the porn industry who, I don't want to get graphic here, but they actually are able to do like gay scenes and stuff by putting cocaine on their penis. So they numb it, and they end up creating like artificial erections and stuff to literally stay aroused. So I don't really want to go to them for my advice, but I will say this. Fingering your own ass, is it gay? I'll leave the chat to decide. One's for yes, two for no. But is it gay permanently, or just gay while you're in the shower? Yeah. So I don't know if you can be temporarily gay. However, I will say that if I were to give advice to people in the dating scene, like I would accept that it's difficult, but I don't think imagine this, like this is what I love about the media. Like imagine real advice. Ready for this? Like real advice. Hey man, I'm like having trouble dating. It's really tough. You know, everybody's crazy. I don't know what to do. And then your friend looks at you in the eye and goes, have you ever just tried deleting those apps and fingering yourself in the ass instead?
Like, no, I never thought of that. Good idea.
I mean, that's a solution. I don't know if that's a productive one, but it is what it is. Dude, oh man. Dude,
this lady literally wrote this. Oh. Typed that headline out and thought, I'm going to publish this. What?
Yeah. No, that's just some funny stuff, man. It makes me laugh. Speaking of that, I got to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors for today. Great segue. Shout out to the wellness company, reminding you that people do some crazy stuff and you never know when you're going to be around that insanity. So you've got to check out the emergency kits, which have all of the basic necessities that you need to fight infections and avoid having to go to the hospital. Look, I don't trust the medical industrial complex. They made ivermectin illegal in this country, in Australia, in many other countries you couldn't get it. It's a very basic antiviral you can use. Also antibiotics, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, things that you would need on hand. You can go down to Mexico to buy this stuff, but you can't trust the quality. You can spend over $500 in an emergency room, you know, but why would you spend that money and go and wait hours and waste your whole night? Or you could try to get an appointment, good luck on that, and paying huge copays. With these emergency kits, they come with everything that you need, including ivermectin, Z-Pak, amoxicillin, and more. You can save 10% today at checkout at twc.health/offensive. That's twc.health/offensive for 10% off. Plus, you can get a first aid emergency kit if you want it, but I encourage you to get these emergency kits. Have all the medications you need on hand. It's a real simple and easy form you fill out, and they'll send it directly to your house today at twc.health/offensive. Get all the antibiotics you need to help fight infections and be prepared for the next crisis, because you never know if the person you were dating took a break and decided to do what that last person just did, which I cannot say during the middle of an ad read for the sake of the company. But you've been watching, and a lot of you logged off during that conversation because you were probably experimenting yourself. Anyway, all right, let's get back to the show. So asking people if women are okay, Gary, you know, I want to talk about, you know, the reality of things like this. You know, we joke about it, right? Just like, you're not gay until you suck a dick and, you know, you finger your ass, you know, in the shower. It is funny because we do read it and it is like, yeah, this is actually pretty crazy. These are real conclusions people come to. But I saw this article from the New York Post that was really scary to me. It says here that a 28-year-old Dutch woman decided to euthanize herself due to crippling depression. And this isn't the only person. And when I read into the story, it was talking about how she basically, the doctors had told her that they'd tried everything. They tried medication. They had tried therapy. And as my friend Josh Lacash said, it apparently her doctors never heard of getting sunlight, eating meat,
exercise.
And going for a run. And so she's, you know, euthanizing herself. She's a pretty girl. She's 28. And also, I'm going to add in there, just finding a man. Like get a man to women. Your emotions are crazy. And you're going to need, like, you know, a little bit of a hype team. You're going to need your man because you're not stable and you're not confident. So you need a man's stability and consistency to build off of. I'm not joking. I've known people who've threatened to sue me for saying things like that, which is unironic. You're like, I'm not unstable. I don't need a man. Fuck you. I'm suing you. But I mean that genuinely is like, hey, women are not doing well. And they're being told to finger their buttholes if they can't date rather than just do some self-analysis, find God, and maybe lose some weight.
Have kids.
Have some children, get married, have kids, build a home, go buy useless shit at Hobby Lobby. You know, go do that. Instead, they're killing themselves. And I'm seeing this. It's euthanasia, by the way, is not for men. Men will commit suicide. Men will just kill themselves. We do it ourselves. Euthanasia is to kill women, because they need assistance to be suicided. And I don't know, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, this is crazy that no men are speaking up against this. We don't hear a lot about against euthanasia. But I told you guys years ago when Canada was legalizing it and stuff, they were saying it was going to be used because terminally ill patients that were, like, you know, going to die in a week from a painful brain tumor just wanted an easier, more painful out. I go, nah, this is going to turn into people being like, I have anxiety, I want to die. And then they're just going to kill them.
Yeah. I mean, we're filtering out the weak of society. That's a silver lining of it, I guess. It's a dark way of looking at it. It's morbid, but I mean, dude, here's the thing about women these days. They all are nuts. They always have been. And something I'm noticing is that I'm 31, right? I've dated women that are a year or two older than me. I've dated younger women, whatever. I'm noticing that these chicks are hitting 28, 29, 30, 31, all the way up to 36. And they're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get married. I can't find a guy. Well, yeah, your standards are way too high. They've slept with, like, a lot of these chicks have slept with, like, just damn near, like, they got like a triple digit body count almost. And then they wonder why no guy wants to deal with them. And then they're like, that's why they get depressed. And I'm not trying to be mean. I think that and I'm not even really, I'm kind of a hypocrite in this capacity because I don't have a really orthodox or traditional dating life, but I do think we need to go back.
Yeah, you mean you're a man? You mean you're a man? You have standards and morals and you fight for them, but you fall short of your own standards sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah. I think we do need to go back to sort of a traditional nuclear family. Seriously. I think that's something that could help people with, because the more stability they have with a family, the less likely I think they are to be depressed, because you have people around, you have a support system, and you know, it's just a time-tested piece of society that's always been around. And is it any surprise that with the degradation of the nuclear family and all these dating trends shifting, that people are having more anxiety and more depression and whatnot? I mean, I think that's also part of like big pharma and a couple of other things, but I do think that the lack of a nuclear family, traditional family values, is, I think it's hurting people emotionally.
Yeah. You know, like, okay, so this is where I want to be careful, because the standards don't just go from women though. It is also men are unrealistic with themselves, because like man talk, as I call it, and female talk, like TikTok, are funny to me, because women talk is all like, girl, you're a queen. Girl, you're so good the way you are. And you watch these videos and it's like, how would you rate yourself? And the girls are all like, 10. I'm a 10. Yeah, I'm a 10, damn it. I'm a 10. And you're like, okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't say how many cheeseburgers you had from McDonald's this week. I said, what's your rating of yourself? But with the man talk, I think a lot of men, and this is going to sound kind of gay, but a lot of men have unrealistic expectations for themselves, because their talk is actually it's actually more realistic. It's like, you're a fucking retard. You're not lifting enough weights. You're not a good enough Christian. You didn't post enough Bible verses today. You don't eat healthy enough. You are at what, 15% body fat? You should be at 8% body fat. You need to marry a virgin. You need to, you know, to declare, you need to make a crusade. You can't just be Catholic or Christian. You need to literally take back Jerusalem. And it's cool. It's based. Like, you know, we watch it, we're like, hell yeah. But a lot of men too are not realizing, like, dude, you don't need to figure all your life out to get married. You don't need to be making $250K a year to get married. You don't need to be the most fit person to be a good dad. Like, you can look at these men, and we rightfully, you know, we'll look up to them, like, oh, that guy's a really good religious example, or that guy's a really good family example. Look, you may not have the perfect family. You may not become a marriage and family spokesperson telling everyone how they can make their families better, but you can at least get married, figure it out. And you need to get married to figure it out. That's why I think men are like, well, I need to figure this out. Go get married and you will figure it out. That's why married men make more than unmarried men. That's why married men typically are actually happier than unmarried men, because we sit there and you go, you're not putting off responsibility. And the longer you put off responsibility, the more you feel like you can get into a depression and anxiety, because it's like, well, I need to just become a little bit wealthier, a little bit stronger, a little bit more secure. Dude, go get married, marry someone, more importantly, that doesn't believe in divorce. You should not believe in divorce. Yeah. That, and like they say, do you know what's divorce is? I mean, working out a rough patch in a marriage is difficult, but you know what's even harder? Divorce. So it's like, we need to get back to that, where people would go through rough patches and would just stop being a bitch. Don't be a baby. Have babies. Don't be a baby. Yeah. Work your shit out. It might get tough, man. And you will. I always tell people this. You will at some point hate your spouse or dislike them, because you hate yourself sometimes. You go through weeks where you're like, I hate who I am. I hate what I'm become. Work on yourself. Work on, and you will work on each other. But also in marriage, like, that's what I love. I never see more criticisms about marriage and standards than people who are just unmarried. They're all over the internet. All these influencers are all about, like, well, here's what marriage should be, and here's what a godly marriage is. And you're like, you aren't even married. You're a whore that wears a cross necklace.
Also, a lot of people that are talking about, I don't ever want to have kids, don't have kids, don't have kids. They're 50-year-old women that can't have kids anymore. So it's almost like, are they actually projecting that they regret not having kids? Because I'm telling you, man, I've experienced that with a lot of women that I know, and at least they're honest about it eventually, but it's definitely a problem. The thing about marriage, though, is I got a couple points here that I wrote down as we were going. Women, I think, actually, when they talk to each other, I think that they're like, you go, girl, this and that, whatever. But they actually don't really feel that good about themselves. That's why they're doing it. So it's like they're trying to manifest positivity in their life. So I respect that. I get that. But I think a lot of these women really are like very depressed because they don't have meaningful relationships with men in their life. And I think that's because they've been socialized to have these, like, we're idolizing like these whorish values. And again, don't get me wrong, dude. I like a lot of women, but it's not a good thing. There's a time and place for that is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Like, I like to party. I'm pretty wild. I get out of control. I do this, that, the third, whatever, but there's a time and place for that. It's not to be exposed to children, and it's not for mainstream society, because it's always going to exist, but it needs to be over here behind closed doors. In my opinion, I'm just being realistic, because it's always going to exist. But the problem with marriage is that the entire marriage system is set up against men. What incentive does a man have to get married anymore? Because if they do get divorced, everything gets taken from them, all, half their money, at least their car, their kids. I have a kid in California. I wasn't even married, and I'm paying child support for a kid that I can't see. I mean, it's, And I go out of my way to try to be in my son's life, but there's a system set in place to garnish wages and to make it to basically, look, you go to court, if you have a kid or you get a divorce, the judge, even if it's a male judge, is siding with the woman 90% of the time. It's, why would a guy want to buy into that system? And look, I agree with you. I do think there are some benefits in terms of people are happier that are married, people make more money that are married, and it's better for children. And we need to have, like I was saying earlier, the nuclear family. But the system needs to be changed before guys are going to start getting married again. That's why nobody's getting married.
I agree. Dude, no, I think that's where ideology and commitment to God comes in, like just getting real, is that this is where marriage, it's not just the laws, but it's understanding that marriage is a spiritual thing, not a legal thing, that it is supposed to be a man under God, a woman under man, and children under the woman. And I saw some guy made this meme about it with umbrellas, right? Like a big umbrella was God, the smaller umbrella was the man, then the woman. And the top comment was from a woman. She was like, "I'll never be beneath a man." And you go, "You stupid bitch. You have no idea what you're talking about." That's like being like, "Oh, I'm going to go into an ancient battle without a shield because I don't need a defense. I can protect myself." Or like, who needs a seatbelt? "I know how to drive." And it's like, okay, buddy, is it true? It's not saying that you're going to die if a man's not in your life. You're living in a society where men are not in control, where men are not in authority in women's life, and it's insane.
Yeah.
I've made the mistake in my life of trying to accept, you know, I've been foolish before, worked around a lot of women, been around people like that, and thought that, you know, we're all equal or we can be friends and this stuff. And no, that's just not true. It's just not true. And the reason why is because there's a nature of woman that was designed and was built to be a helpmate and to be an assistance to men. Okay, that does not mean that they are not, they're better at men than men at so many things, nurturing, caring. But this idea of a lack of authority really, really screws up a lot of things, because I think men don't fully understand how to talk to God until they need to have a wife under their authority, because you realize how scary that is and how difficult that is and how absolutely there's no one in the world that can help you with that, no matter how much advice they give. So you have to lean on God. And if you both trust in God and she's trusting in you and you're trusting in the Lord, there is a certain protection. But marriage, like you said, change the laws. Yes, I totally agree with that. But that function of like marriage is just this legal contract. And then when we break it, we go through a legal contract to figure out what we own and what we don't, rather than a lifelong commitment under God. It doesn't just destroy marriage. It destroys the purpose of men and the purpose of women.
Yeah.
And it makes like women are out there thinking, "Well, I don't need to be under the authority of man." The only thing that you have an authority, woman, it's called the courts. Like, they just replace the husband with the court. And that's the structure. That's kind of what I was trying to point, is the structure of marriage is not because we just need to change the laws. It's because they've replaced the covering of God with the covering of government. But government is now over man. And so men are no longer under the authority of God. They're under the authority of courts, and it destroys the country because the government's corrupt. And now we worship a corrupt God. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah,
that's sort of my thought process.
So the fabric of society is being torn apart because people are leaning on the government as opposed to some spiritual entity. I'm not like super religious per se, but I would say I'm spiritual and I support Christianity. I was raised Catholic. I was confirmed. I like the values that it espouses. I'm not, again, not super religious, but I totally get what you're saying. Here's the thing though. In in the modern society that we're living in, we can say everything that we're talking about, a woman under a man under and a man under God, and et cetera, et cetera. That is for people who buy into this, that particular system, right? It's not going to work for everyone.
Right.
Because it's too far gone. We don't live in a theocratic country. You know what I mean? But I do think that if more people operated that way and showed the healthy side of it, because I'm not ever going to tell anybody what to do. That's not my thing. But you can lead by example. That's what I'm trying to get at. And if people lead by example in a good way, then maybe it could change hearts and minds, right? Like, because at the end of the day, what I want is for people to be happy and to be in a healthy, cohesive society. But you're not going to get there by forcing.
No. And you know what? I agree. But what I'm trying to say is that it's still like we do have to fix the laws, but it's sort of what I'm saying is I don't think those are going to get fixed anytime soon.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is that if you still want to make marriage work, that's why you've got to be careful. Just like realizing the government redefines, you know, gay marriage or these things. Look, if you want to live in a liberal society and have gay people be able to get together, then whatever. Look, I've been a complete degenerate in seasons of my life. I would say I'm a bit like I'm not even here lecturing people on here's how to be a perfect person. Like, I have fumbled the bag in my life in more ways than one. And sometimes that bag had white powder in it and it was a crazy night. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I also still, like you said, want to do what's right and ultimately want what's good for the country. And what I'm saying with the marriage thing is that it's not just marriage. It's like when we've replaced God with government, the psyop that women do not realize, kind of like I laugh. There's this influencer for PragerU named Xavier, very nice guy, seems smart. And he talks about how 2 years ago he left like BLM and he was marching for BLM and he like broke free and is red-pilled. Now he works for Zionists and pushes the war in Gaza. And I'm like, brother, you left one plantation for the other. Like, you literally, BLM and Zionism are like just as bad as each other. They're just ideological camps that control people into tribalism that works against Western civility and nationalism and ties us up in divisive minority politics and issues that are not good for us. But people think, well, if I break free from one bad thing, that must mean the thing I went to is good, when it's not objectively a good thing. So when we break free from government, that's all I was going to say is like, we're still looking for the government to fix marriage. And that's why I think the government having a say in marriage has been detrimental to the beginning. Right. Like, it's like, this is why they weren't supposed to get involved. This is why we didn't want gay marriage. It wasn't because everyone was like, fuck gay people. I hate them. I want them to all die. It was saying, look, marriage is so important to the construct of society. If you put the government too far into this or in it at all, the government always goes towards corruption. And this is such a sacred union and authority structure that it'll literally unravel. And this is why you'll find most conservative e-girls, e-thoughts are not married themselves, like, because of what you said. They're just, it's like, if you want to be a conservative woman, quit the internet. It's like self-defeating. Log off. Like, it's not a joke, though. Log off. You can be on the internet if you're a girl. I don't care. But, like, if you're trying to push conservative ideas as a woman, you're not going to be pushing them on the internet. Okay?
Right.
This is not it.
Cool.
It's taught in church and in family and in life. It's not the internet. The reason why liberalism and progressivism work so well on the internet, not just because the algorithms are rigged or it's rewarded, is because the internet in and of itself is a vice to most people. It's an addiction.
Yeah.
And addictions lead towards degeneracy. And those are the things that will profit. We call it brain rot today, but it'll promote brain rot. Right. And that's just naturally the recourse. I think I have a picture of this here. Not a bash on anybody, but somebody was saying this is what Twitter is today, and I liked it. Libs of TikTok's a friend, by the way, but it's like, this is what our conversations are. Look at this, some gay guy, and Elon Musk is like, wow, and then someone's like, my pussy in bio, and this is literally what it is. So this is brain rot, right? This is like, and I take part in it, but the internet leads towards brain rot, and I feel like that's what we're experiencing. Maybe that was long-winded, but that's how I feel.
This is what I'll say. If women want to do the OnlyFans hustle, sure, let them go for it. Again, I don't really care, but I don't think that ultimately leads to happiness. I have a lot of female friends that work in that industry, and a lot of them have, in confidence, told me, "I'm depressed. I'm this. I'm that." I'm like, "Well, have you thought about stop doing this? if you're not doing this anymore, maybe that's part of it. Maybe you need a good man in your life. Maybe you need something, you know, I don't know, just have a healthier hobby. And even if they wanted to still keep doing that, sure, go for it. But have something to at least try to like balance it out or something. I want to go back to what you were saying about the marriage thing, though. What you were talking about, because this resonated with me, God, man, woman, child, that is almost a complete necessity if you want to get married. That's the only way it'll work. I don't think there's any other real, I could be wrong. I've never been married, so I feel like maybe I do sound like a little bit of a douchebag talking about this, like I know what I'm talking about, but...
No, you're good, dude, let's get back to like the fact of you don't need to be a physicist or have committed suicide to know that jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge might lead to your death. Like, can we just get back to the obvious? Like, well, right. I use my eyes and see that this kind of works. The marriages are working in families who, not because they say they're Christian or because they say they're godly, but people who apply the Bible, pray, they work and build their marriage on a foundation, it typically works. And divorce rates prove that. Right. Christians have the same rate of divorce as non-Christians because that's just a title. But Christians who read the Bible, who pray together daily, who go to church, when you start adding these factors in, their marriage divorce rates are almost non-existent, by the way, comparatively to other groups of people. Same thing with Islam too and stuff, by the way. But you also might be killed if you divorce your husband. So
with that, though, I also think that marriage doesn't work for a lot of people. You know what I mean? It just doesn't. So I think that, and also for the record, if a man is leading a relationship, I don't think that necessarily means that the woman is any less important. In fact, I kind of think that almost every guy I know that is very successful is married, and their wives are almost better women than they are men in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
So I think women are actually extremely important. And I think that they don't like, what's that? There's that one Beyonce song. They're not, who runs the world? Girls. I don't think they run the world per se, but in a certain capacity, women can create and or destroy society, if you know what I mean by that.
Oh, well, women are the most destructive and creative force. Like, they create life. But every ruined career you see is some bitter woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. It's like, that's sort of the case, right? Even a man's life, it's not even career. It could be marriage, right? Like, women just come after you and they're relentless. And that's also not submitting to God. So that's what I meant about the idea of, I think it's really important to know that even if you're not overtly religious or even, you know, fully Christian, that's why acknowledging a Christian society is so important, because it's going, okay, I may not be going to church and this stuff, but believing that there is a creator that has a standard for me that I need to hold myself to. If I don't need to have my wife be a nagging bitch, because she's probably going to nag me about things that if I was really thinking about the best version of me, I would already be doing. Like, a lot of marriages are because women are upset at men for not living up to their potential. And if you believe in a higher power or a higher calling that's calling you to your potential, then you can be naturally doing things and then they'll feel safe and secure. Yeah. And I've learned that the hard way, right? So when you're not living up to your potential, it's like guys are like, well, what does it mean if I just sit around and watch sports and drink beer? And you're like, well, nothing, but watch your wife become a raging bitch at you.
Because she's
seeing lost potential, time you're not putting into her and the kids. So yeah, don't get married. And that's my advice. Unless you want to make, if you want anything else to be your priority, pleasure, your career, you know, if you want anything else besides like your marriage to be the most important thing, don't get married, because if your marriage isn't doing well, then you will not be doing well as a man and everything else will suffer. If you're doing well at home, you will weather the most difficult career problems, personal problems. People can die in your family. If things are bad at home, you'll self-sabotage and blow up your own career. So that's
I've sort of done that a time or two. Also, when you're talking about these women that are bitching at their husbands because they're seeing lost potential, you pretty much just describe like every serious relationship I've ever been in. And I got to take accountability for that. Also, dude, I do think that there is I can bash women all day, right? I love women. Don't get me wrong. I really do love women. Sometimes a little bit too much, but I can talk shit about them and be borderline misogyny adjacent all day. Who gives a shit? But sometimes these women, that even the ones that piss me off, they actually do have a point. A lot of these guys are fucking useless. They don't have skills. They don't have trades. They don't work out. They're not doing anything. They're sitting around drinking beer, watching fucking sports. They don't make money. They don't like what's their value, you know? So sometimes these women do actually have a point. I know.
Yeah. Go lift weights, dude. But that's why it's like, go lift weights and go do something. Dude, because look, I was just reading in Australia here, in order to like be a proper homeowner and live a life on a single income, you now need $473,000 a year able to just have a normal, like someone I know here was looking for a home. And I mean, it was like, what, $1.2 million for a home, and didn't even have a stove in it, which was crazy. Like, not even like a place for a stove. Like, it needed a kitchen demo. And I know like the average price of an apartment around where I am is like between $1.5 and $3 million. And these are apartments, by the way. So it's a very expensive country. And I noticed that, you know, that's a lot of money, right? That's, nobody's really making that. But you can make that. And it's not because you can't make that kind of money. It's just because it takes a certain amount of grit, tenacity, focus to start getting into that income bracket. And that's the reason why, you know, when you look at income brackets, you'll see that as you get older, it changes because you should be maturing and growing. So a lot of men, I feel like if a lot of men, this is really, really shallow. Maybe the guys in here will agree. If you made more money, it would fix 95% of your problems with women, with your own ego, with like just everything. And that's why I don't like the money doesn't buy happiness bullshit, because
it kind of does. And
it does
your problems.
Yeah. It doesn't fix all your problems. And also it can cause more, but that's like saying working out doesn't fix your health issues because it doesn't fix your issues because you could get sexy and then end up in an affair. It's like, okay, yeah, like you're right. Like, I mean, yeah, you could get into an affair because you're looking sexy.
But that's still about accountability, and that comes back on you as a man.
Correct. So it's like, but yeah, dude, working out, like, just like, it's like everyone trying to find out ways to fix their health besides just literally eating less and working out more. Like it's like, dude, just go move and restrict your calories and you'll look good. You'll be completely fine the rest of your life.
Today's day and age, there's a fucking gym in every fucking section of every city. There's Ozempic, there's steroids. Like, dude, you can do anything. You can walk in circles somewhere. I don't understand how people are so wildly obese. Part of it is because our country and the corporations that feed us are poisoning us. That is a thing that's happening. Testosterone levels are low, so that really affects men. And we do have this like lethargic, sedentary lifestyle in the United States. And I think that to a degree, I hate saying stuff like this because I'm pretty big on extreme ownership, but to a degree, it is not some of these people's faults because they don't like some of these people's, their body doesn't metabolize all these like chemicals in our food properly.
I know.
Yeah. There's a lot of issues. Also, it's funny to me that, we were talking about how media is slow after holidays, right? Like on Easter, or should we say the Trans Visibility Day or whatever?
Yeah, thank you. Please be politically correct,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, come on. What's funny to me about that is that we're totally there's people that are okay with this, not us, but there's people that are okay with giving testosterone to kids to transition them, but they're against people taking testosterone to cure depression or to cure certain ailments or to get more muscular because our testosterone levels are somewhere between 20 and 40% lower than our grandparents. So maybe we should be taking, I mean, dude, I don't know what the long-term effects of this would be, and stuff like TRT has to be taken continuously for it to work, but there's gotta be something done about our hormone levels in the United States because they're getting wildly out of control.
I'm going to do it, by the way. I'm going to do test when I get back to the States. It's really hard to get here in Australia because they, like, I'm with you on that, dude. I was talking about hormone disruptors. Gavin Newsom was talking about birth control today, ripping into Charlie Kirk, saying basically that he's crazy for saying birth control makes women crazy. Yeah, well, we know that it does. Also, hitting for some reason, if their women are over 30 and they're not full-time homemakers, I also feel like they go crazy too. That's not a joke.
You know, that hit over 30, Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, but if they're not homemakers, they haven't figured out how to be at home, or their husband hasn't figured out how to make enough money for them to stay home, they become resentful bitches. And I've seen that in a lot of, like, because they don't respect their husbands. So then they don't respect the husband. So they lose respect for men. And then they become like a destructive force. I was trying to explain this to someone, which is why career women are some of the most destructive people in the entire country, in the world, because they're the most unhappy. And it's been proven that homemaking women are much happier. And it doesn't mean that, that's why I think it's funny. It doesn't mean you, if you have the capability to run your home like a business, I don't mean that in a mean way, but if you could be really clean, really organized, your husband's gonna fucking love you. If you have food ready and things are on a schedule and you want your kids there and you have time for your crafts, I hope, hopefully you have a husband that will pay for that. My wife has no budget. She's never had a budget. She can spend whatever she wants. She can do whatever she wants. And she's never violated that. Although she has bought a couple dresses that I don't know why they were the price they were, but for the most part, it's been good and she's fine. You know, she hasn't worked in what, 6 years. So, I mean, that's pretty good. She hasn't had to work. So I like, it's just, I feel like, I don't know. All I was going to say with the women thing, the hormone thing, going back to that is the reason why I think they're happier is because, like, when they're on their periods or when they're having, you know, menstrual cycles, girls are complaining they shouldn't have to work during those times. Like, that just drives you crazy, especially if you're on birth control and you, your body's tricking itself into thinking that it's pregnant. Men today are the same thing, though. I think our T levels, my biggest thing is that the low T levels have taken away the drive to make real change in our personal lives and in the world. And so we accept life the way it is because it's too much work to personally change and too much work to change the world. And that's what I think it's affected the most, is our drive to do shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know? And also everybody's a bunch of pussies. So there's that, but
pussy.
But also, I mean, what about women that don't want to be a stay-at-home wife or whatever? I mean,
Stop. Oh, I don't want to provide for my family. No, that's what I'm saying. We got to get back to this. Like, what do I want? What do you mean? What do you want? What's good for you? Okay. Want what's good for you. Why is it so hard for people to understand? Like, dude, if men got what they want, we would never get married. We'd be fucking hot whores all the time. And we'd have a harem. We'd have a harem of whores. Maybe, you know, like, look at a king. A king is an example of what men want. You have midgets, you know, doing shows for you in your court. So you can laugh at midgets. You have whores you're having sex with. You have a queen to give you offspring. Like, that's what men want. Okay. Look at a king's life. Conquest and gold. Like, dude, you know what? As a regular human being, what is good for you? What are you called to? That's why I think you need God, because you need some sort of a standard. But it's like women, like, well, what do women want? You know what? That's the thing. They don't know what they want. So they have to be told what is good for them and provided that in a system. And right now the system is telling them that what they should want is something that is going to be bad for them. And that's why it's like, well, can some women work? Look, some women have always worked. There's always been exceptions to the rule. There's been women queens. Things happen. But majority of women are not going to be happy that way. And majority of women have been lied to. That's all I'm saying, is most women would be happier at home.
Right.
Literally just provided for. And the reason why they're not happy at home is because their husbands are poor. That's right.
Yeah, no. That's because of the low T. That's kind of what I was getting at earlier. I really do think that, like, guys are just fucking... I think men are... As much as I talk trash about women... I think men are also in sort of a sad state of affairs. I think society's just falling apart, dude. I mean, I'm not going to be black pill about it and be all mopey and whatnot. I'm not gonna live my life that way, but it's the reality of the world we live in, man. It's, things are totally upside down and it's a mess, guys. And again, dude, if a woman doesn't want to have children, then she shouldn't have children, because imagine your mom being like, I didn't want to have you. You suck. You ruined my life. That's not going to help anybody either. Sure. There's, women are more likely to be happier when they're, most women are going to be happier at home. That's a statistic that Gavin McInnes threw out on a news show a long time ago. And I think that's probably accurate, but what's most women, like 60%? There's, and you know, like, if you look back in like the frontier days, women were badass. They were chopping wood. They were making fires. They were doing all sorts of stuff that the average guy nowadays can barely do. So it's, we go in these waves, the paradigm changes, it shifts. There's a lot of women working. Then a lot of these women are going to get older and realize they don't really like working. A lot of the women that I know that are kind of career women, they're like, man, one day I'm going to marry a rich guy and not have to work. And I'm like, well, that's hilarious. You know, that's like kind of the opposite of what energy you're throwing out there. But I mean, over time, things are going to change, because I think people are, how old are you?
Me, I'm 30.
I'm 31. I think our generation of men and women are very unhappy, just in general. The millennials. Dude,
literally, but maybe it's a red pill, but I also think that at least I'm kind of aware. Like, I will notice, like, I'm not going to go into the depth here right now, but there was something that I was doing, and it's not particularly sinful and particularly immoral or anything, but I was like, why do I feel like I'm like not fully living up to my potential? What's going on? So I thought of it and I ended up deciding, okay, I'm not going to do this and I'm going to throw this out and I'm not going to do this at all, because I go, this is not something that is, I'm going to try this, right? It's called basic experimentation. Why don't I try changing a variable in my life? And just, if you're watching this could be anything. If you're not exercising, that could be starting exercising, sure, whatever. And dude, just changing one variable has given me so much more motivation and mentality change. Like just not partying hard all the time has given me so much better finances and mentality. Like I make so much more money because I have so much more time to accomplish tasks, right, because I'm not hungover every day. Like it's a crazy thing. I know, but like that's what millennials are like. It's like, it's almost like they're denying just reality. It's like, well, but it's really hard every week to just like go to the gym and eat healthy and, you know, and not just like, yeah, a porn every day. I know, it's like, it's only hard for about a month, by the way. I'll tell people this. Making changes is really hard. And when you're in that first month, when your brain's going to be like, this is so hard, just know it's like really hard for like a week is the hardest. And then like 30 days is pretty hard. But like after 30 days, it just starts getting progressively easier. So you don't have to change your whole life. You just have to change for 30 days. And it really does get easier. But that's where millennials are like, but I can't even change for 30 days. And you're like, damn, bro. That's why we're unhappy. You can't even change for 30 days. Crazy.
The reality, though, is that all you have to do is tell yourself that you can do it, and then you can do it. And it shouldn't even take 30 days. It should happen instantly, because your mind is the most powerful thing that's in your life. It really is as simple as that. If you tell yourself, I'm done doing this, and you want to be done doing it, you'll be done doing it. It's manifestation. That stuff's real. Manifestation is real. If you put the energy out there, you will accomplish it, period. And I think this guy has like released. And honestly, you know what that just boils down to? It's the same thing. Sorry, dude, there's a mosquito in here or something. It boils down to the same thing we were just talking about. It's as a man, you just say, I'm going to do it. And you fucking do it. You don't have excuses. You just shut up and you do it. Simple as
well,
that.
You take it. So I want to finish the rest of the show on Rumble. Guys, if you're watching on YouTube, we're trying to get everyone over to Rumble eventually. I'll give Gary there a quick break. Head over to rumble.com/slightlyoffensive. You can join the chat here. We have a good live audience here right now. It's a slow day. We got about 1,100 of you guys watching live on Rumble. We also have, you guys can always watch here on Locals, and we are also live right now on Censored as well. So you guys can watch there on Censored, Locals, and directly here on Rumble. The reason why we do that is because we just always assume our YouTube channel will disappear eventually. It'll probably go away, but you can support the show directly and you can join us at censored.tv, promo code offensive. That keeps the show on the air, and it also funds independent media. So we don't have, everything we do is alt tech. We have servers outside of Amazon, our own servers. We have backdoor payment processors, and we even have backup systems for our backup systems when people try to take us off the air. So when you're supporting this, you're supporting a infrastructure network that is actually fighting against big tech and supporting alt tech. It is so important that you do it. It is absolutely crucial. But anyway, I really do appreciate that. We're going to take a 2-minute break. I'm here with Gary. You can follow him if you're watching on YouTube or X. You can follow him in the description below. Follow his podcast. Give him major support. Gary, before we switch over to Rumble, I just want to give you a chance to plug yourself to the YouTube audience. Tell them where they can find and follow you.
Excuse me. On Instagram, it's at the.scary.gary. I cut up podcast clips and post all sorts of stuff on Instagram all the time. There's a litany of different things. I think your audience might like probably 60% of what I do. And then the other portion, they'll probably think I'm a degenerate lunatic. And then on YouTube, it's just Gary Faust. And I do, again, those are where the full podcasts are, and interviews and street man on the street stuff out of Austin. I do political stuff with firearms and also comedy and whatever comes to mind, you know.
Well, yeah, and we'll have to, when I get back to the U.S., luckily I'm actually having, I'm actually having a few studios built. This company's building me a studio, a few things. We'll have to have you out in person. I used to do a much bigger production, but now I've just been live streaming, hanging out while I'm in the good old Aussie land, hanging out with my family for a couple years here. But I'll come back and we'll have to do something together. Anyway, for you guys watching directly on YouTube or X, we'll see you over on Rumble, taking a 2.5 minute break. And we're going to finish this discussion because I've got some great videos on responsibility. And also knowing, I think everyone in the chat, by the way, Gary, like when you say that, like 60% is what they'll like and 40% is degenerate, that literally describes like most of us in this entire community. Like we're like 60% good people, 40% degenerate. So we all like, okay, we try to do the right thing, but we don't always do it. All right, I'll see you guys there. I just got done injecting microplastics into my ass. I was trying that the whole idea of leaving the dating scene, the fingers up the butt, that didn't work out. So I've started just injecting microplastics. It's feeling pretty good. My guest today is actually an expert on that. Gary, he's been doing it for 3 years now. Welcome back. We're here on Rumble. How have you been feeling since you've been injecting microplastics? I think yours were penile injections at the tip. I'm going a different route, but I'd love to know your feedback.
I've been trying to reach complete zero, no testosterone, and the plastics have almost completely achieved that. My balls are the size of raisins, and a woman walks me around on a leash in public and humiliates me. It's great.
Some men would pay for that, so that's pretty good. I mean, that's honestly not bad. I wanted to put out something. Where is this here? Oh yeah, here it is. I saw this video, right? And I think nothing better, describes what's wrong with our country than probably TikTok. Even though I use TikTok, it actually has broken my brain. And I remember seeing this video recently of this woman who crashed her car, and then she made a TikTok right after.
God,
like it's pretty serious.
Is this real?
Yeah, that was real.
Oh my God.
It was a reverse order though. This video came out first. Someone's like, dude, someone literally crashed their car, pulled out a tripod and started filming themselves dancing. But this was, they found the TikTok.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I was just thinking about this. I'm like, look, there's so much we could say here about women not driving, but I also, can we talk about this? I don't want to go too far to the breaking into women thing, but I want to actually talk about how the way the world is set up, I don't know why more people don't talk like me or think like me. It really blows my mind because I just went driving in a car with my family member who's female. And that was the scariest experience of my life. I hadn't seen them in like months and they drove my car. And it was like we were going for a learner's permit day. And this person's been driving for like a decade and I love them too. I was like, this is scary. My own wife drives me. It's the most frightening experience. Like, I don't even know how she drives. She doesn't really do much driving. I don't want her to do a lot of driving because it's scary, man. I mean, she literally, every car I bought, the car I have now, it's not a very expensive car. Cars are very expensive in Australia. I went and bought it. It was like 30 grand cash. It's a cheap car, by the way. It should be like 9 grand. And I'm glad because All the rims are scraped up. They're like bumpers. They're just jacked up. And one day I come out and the whole front end is like smashed. And I just went like, what happened? And I just asked my wife, I'm like, hey, what happened? What happened? Did you drive the car? She's like, okay. I said, did you hit somebody and run away or something? She's like, oh, I hit a pole in the parking garage and I just freaked out and I drove away. I was like, did you hit a pole? Just telling me you hit a pole. She's like, yes. And I was like, and you didn't tell me? She was like, I didn't look at it. I just went, if I don't look at it, then it, I don't know if it happened. Maybe girls can relate to this. She's like, I didn't even want to see it. So I just figured you'd find it. And I'm like, she wasn't even trying to be like deceptive or anything. It wasn't like that. She just freaked out and then drove home and then wanted to pretend like it didn't happen. And I'm like, this is scary. These people are on the road. You know what I mean? That's a real thing because women scare me on the road. They really do. It's frightening. It's very frightening. And all I was going to say is, like, I don't know why more people aren't experiencing this. Am I alone in my experiences? Maybe
no,
I am.
No, my buddy's mom just drove me back to Austin from Houston today. And it was crazy, dude. We were weaving in and out of traffic, cutting people off, driving on the line. And he's in the front seat yelling at her. He's like, Mom, what are you fucking doing? You're going to get us killed. And she's like, doesn't even know what's going on. And she's running red lights and stopping at green lights. It was an experience. And I won't do it again because I want to live. But I know what you're talking about. And here's my take on this. First of all, that video is fucking crazy. And the first thing I thought is, this is the death of an empire. We got somebody crashing their car, and instead of checking to see if the other person's okay or what, any other litany of things you're supposed to do after you crash a car, especially in that situation, looked pretty damaged. She gets out and starts dancing around like a fucking retard. But this is my take. That woman started dancing when she crashed her car. Your wife, who I'm sure is lovely, crashed, freaked out, and got away. And I think that is, those are the symptoms of the bigger problem, which is that when shit goes down, women freak out because they don't really want to deal with the reality of what has happened. They don't want to deal with accountability. Hot take from me.
That is so brutal.
Yeah.
That is, which is also why they're likely to snitch. So like, if you have a problem with someone, they'll go tell on an authority because they can't deal with it themselves. They can't like if you, that's why women sue, women do all this stuff, because it's like, dude, you should just be, if your friend screws you over, that's why I like the mob mentality. It's like, brother, I'm just going to have you jumped in the front lawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll get the shit out of you. I'm going to threaten. I'm going to steal your car. I'm just saying, literally. But it's like, women, it's like, I got to go tell on this person. I've got to go get a bunch of, that's why they gossip too. We got to go get a bunch of people involved to create social pressure so that they think that, this is why gossip is a big deal, by the way, guys. If you ever wanted to know why you shouldn't be friends with women, if you're a man, because they gossip, because what happens is if they're wrong in a situation, they will get, this is like young high school, this is like advice to high schoolers. If you break up with a girl and she's done partially the wrong thing and you've done partially the wrong thing, even if you're both at fault, let's just say you're both at fault, she's mostly afraid of being held accountable for being partly at fault, that she will lie about you and turn everyone against you, right, so that you look like you're bad. And if you apologize to her, which you know, maybe you should, like, hey, I'm so sorry, those receipts will get leaked. And then everyone will be like, see, he's bad, he apologized. Even if you were like, just, even if you're just like, hey, I'm sorry for my involvement in this, they'll leak your tweets or whatever, your text to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then they work really hard and they'll spend their whole life trying to shit on you so that they look like a good person. Cause ultimately what they're afraid of is ever being seen to have done something slightly wrong. And they care so much about not being held responsible for any involvement in a situation that they would lie about you and put you in jail, depending on how crazy they are, in order to win. We're seeing that with some people right now. I'm not going to mention them. Some celebrities on the right wing going through divorces and stuff publicly. It's nasty stuff. Just letting you know. It's very, very nasty stuff.
Arguing with a female friend is a lot like getting, like, if somebody's trying to cancel you, you can never apologize. You can never admit you're wrong, and you can never say sorry. Because then then all of a sudden, boom, they have all the leverage, and you now look like the guilty party. Also, I'll say this too. Women, so I think this is true with the majority of the time. If a woman is totally scorned by a man, they will go out of their way to go as far as they can to destroy your reputation, which is very important to a man. And it's the equivalent on the male side of when a man is totally scorned by somebody, they'll just go kill them. It's the female version of killing someone is destroying their reputation. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Oh, well, dude. Oh, what do I think about that? I've learned a lot of things the hard way in that regard. I've also learned it with civility, like you said. I think that's why they say nice guys finish last. That's why I treat you like trash. Remember that old YouTube song? That was such a good song because, but I also agree with this too. At a certain point, you need to just stop. You need to just start ignoring the bitches. Like, that's just probably where you need to be at. Yeah. But I also bring up the fact that, you know, this is why I think it's so detrimental what we teach kids or what we're teaching people about these gender ideologies is, look, if you get into a disagreement with a female, whether it's your wife, or you're getting into a disagreement when you're in high school, or it's a work disagreement, or just any disagreement, even in a public situation. As a man, you're looking to find a resolution. As a woman, she's looking to find a way out and default blame. So what you're looking to do, so you're like reasoning with a female, trying to figure out how I can come to a conclusion so we can resolve something. And to them, they're saying, how can I make you look bad? And so I feel better about myself. They're not even trying to come to a conclusion.
Or also, depending on the woman, and I've learned this by botching relationship after relationship after relationship. Sometimes they just want their feelings validated. That's a thing. I still don't really understand how it works, but if you actually try to listen and you say, okay, I listened to what you're saying, I'm going to try to process that and understand where you're coming from. Sometimes they do appreciate that, you know? That's a thing that exists.
Literally, but I would say the catch 22 in this is you could say like, don't apologize, but then sometimes apologize, but ignore them. But don't fully ignore them because they could go crazy and just want to be acknowledged. Yeah, it's like, basically, there's no way to win here.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say.
There's no winning. It's like, we're just managing. Like, I was actually describing this. I'm like, with women, you don't win, you manage. So yeah, like things are either better or worse. But even in a family dynamic, many of you guys will know that with sisters, with mothers, cousins, you know, it can get complicated. Like for the most part, there's very little drama between the men. You just like most of the drama between the men is because of the women. Like somebody's wives were upset or somebody's wife was upset at you or you were rude to my mother or it's always that, you know, for the most part. Because if you piss off someone's dad, for instance, he'll just beat your ass or just come to you and threaten you or like tell you, like, hey, shape up, buster. Yeah. But if you like upset somebody's mom, like you're dating or something, you're no longer welcomed in the home and the dad may confront you about it, but it's just because the wife doesn't like you. And I think that's usually the case too. Like, the reason why men lose their friends when they get married is because their wives don't like them.
Yeah, and I've been there on the receiving end of that so many times because I'm kind of an asshole, and I'm not going to change for anybody. But you know what? You know what? Managing a woman, you're totally right about that. You know what it's like? It's like, you remember Tony Hawk Pro Skater when you're doing a manual or you're grinding and you're trying to keep the arrow in between the. Not from going too far left or going too far right. It's like you're trying to keep that manual going. You familiar with what I'm talking about?
Oh, listen, look, we all learn this the hard way, I think, unfortunately. But it's like, that's why I'm almost kind of like, you got to like switch up your methods. Like sometimes you just got to be a man and put your foot down with women and be like, bitch, stop being such, like, just
shut
stop.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Just shut up, you dumb bitch. Shut up. But other times that might work. But then you try that the second time. Now you've created a hysterical situation. Sometimes you can apologize and you're like, trying to be nice. Baby. You're trying to be nice. You're not even acknowledging that they're correct. You're just saying, I'm sorry for treating you poorly or for the way that you feel like I treated you.
Right.
And now that might work in the moment. Thank you for listening to me and for realizing that, you know, you didn't mean to be doing something wrong, but I took it as that. Then the next time you know it, they're sending receipts to people showing that you apologize and you admit you're wrong when you weren't even apologizing for what they're claiming you were apologizing for. And now you have to be like, fuck you, I'm ignoring you. I'm not even talking to you because I'm not giving you any more ammo. And then you ignore them, then they're going to threaten you if you don't acknowledge them. So it's like, it's this cycle and you're just manualing, right? You're just Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You're trying to break the score. Constantly. what you were saying about sending receipts and yada yada yada, all that stuff. There's a difference between like a girlfriend situation there and then like your female friends. So like what I was saying with female friends is that it's a very difficult thing to manage. I've got a lot of female friends and I've had to cut some of them out and because they're fucking out of control. But I've also got some female friends that I'm very close with and have had my back through some stuff. But You gotta be careful apologizing to your female friends because they're still not like your guy friends. With your guy friends, you can be like, hey, dude, sorry, we got in a fist fight the other day in the backyard and I broke your nose. All right, dude, no worries. Never talk about it again. You apologize to a female friend, they might bring it up and use it as weaponize it against you in the future when they like, oh, hey, can you help me move on Thursday? I'm at work. I can't. Well, you're the worst fucking friend ever. That's some bullshit. And you don't want to deal with that from a female friend, but from a girlfriend or a wife, you kind of have to if you want to make it work.
Female friends is a oxymoron to me. Like, it's like female problems is what that should be called, but they're like friends for you. It's actually probably because they either mutually hate a girl who hates you and or there's some sort of sexual tension. Like either A, they want to sleep with you, or B, there's like, and unless that's why there's family friends, like it could be time, right? You've just known a girl from when you were a kid for like 20 years. That's different. But like girls that you just meet, female friend I always just prefer to call them acquaintances. Like, it's like someone I know, but they will turn on you. They will eventually turn on you. That's why I want to remind people, female friends will eventually turn on you, because if there's any problems, it'll be your fault. Yeah. And then they'll try. And this goes from when you're younger to older. How many female friends stuck in your life, boys, over the last 30 years? How many male friends stuck in your life? Probably more than female, right? I'm just assuming. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot to be uncovered there. It just kind of depends. I will recommend this, though. Again, maybe your listeners won't approve of this. Maybe they will. I don't know. But a lot of guys that have relationship problems, go date a stripper after you've been married and divorced, or after your first serious relationship or something like that, your late 20s, go date a stripper, and it's going to fucking drive you so far up the wall, and you're going to go so past the threshold of what you thought was socially and morally acceptable in your life, that it's going to reset you, and you're going to be like, okay, I need to go find a good woman now. If you are like a player, or you fuck around a lot like I do, it's like you're giving yourself like a little dose of karma. God's like kind of bitch slaps you a little bit and says, hey boy, go do right now. You know what I mean?
Go date a prostitute and then realize, oh my gosh, go hit your low, go do cocaine, go do crack cocaine.
That's a sports car, dude.
Go do, it's like, hey, it's like the advice. You think you have problems now, go get a crack addiction and date an escort, and you will find out that your problems are non-existent. I would say don't do it, but watch a friend who does. I've had friends who have dated strippers and escorts and stuff because they fall in love with them or whatever. And you're going, dude, this is like when they pop your tires. Like, this is, you get shanked. They'll shank you. These people will shank you. These women, like, you got mad at the woman. Talk about a woman who will stab you with a literal shank. Like, these people are crazy. And it's a key. And I don't even know how they have enough force to stick it in you. But it's like, I'm with you on that. Is like, our problems are non-existent. And that's where I it's not about shitting on women. It's kind of like the idea that, like I said, their power structure has changed. When a woman's in a good position, they are very good. But I think that my biggest thing is you kind of just have to stop caring. Like, you kind of just have to like be like,
yeah,
you can be upset, you can do whatever you want. It's just not going to let that get in my day. And I think the greatest victory you have as a man is when you disregard females, acquire money. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it's actually when you learn to allow your rational understanding of their level of upsetness and just be okay with it. Meaning, if you've actually upset them because you've actually done something hurtful and mean,
then
really process that, try to work it out. But when they're just reading into what you said, oh, you said this, but then you said this, but then you said this, but then you said that, and you gave me this, and you said that, and they're going crazy, and you say, hey, stop it. I'm going on with life. We're dropping this.
Yeah.
It's
stoicism.
Over.
It's stoicism.
Goodbye.
It is essentially, right? You keep distance and mellow. Don't let it affect you. Dude, I dated this girl back a while back, and she would tell me, I'd be like, hey, I think you just like might feel this way, or you might be hungry. And she's like, don't tell me how I fucking feel. And then in the same vein, you know, an hour later, she'd be like, you have a fucking attitude with me. And I was like, what are you talking about? No, I don't. And she'd be like, you have an attitude. And I'm like, well, now you're telling me how I fucking feel. There's just a lot of double standards, man. Maybe I've just dated a bunch of crazy bitches and I'm kind of jaded and I'm just like, who gives a shit anymore? I don't know. I probably am.
They're all the same. They're all the same. Like, literally, they're all the same. What I will say is it's what the key thing is with females is finding a female without baggage. So like my wife is easy to live with, though, because she doesn't come with any previous relationships or anything. She, you know, cradle snatched her. So she's easy to live with and she's easy to process. I mean, we still have our differences and we still get upset at each other and whatnot because we're married and that's what happens. But for the most part, I think it's the baggage that makes, it's kind of like if you add baggage and birth control, right? So like, go for the D's, not the double B's, right? So like, don't go for the baggage and birth control, go for the other thing. But it's the D's that make you justify the B's, and that's when you get the B-I-T-C-H, you know? You end up getting the real, their hormones. Yeah, I was off the top of my head. but it's like that's the baggage and birth control is what sort of channels them into their psychoness into a lack of being able to be controlled. Because now you're introducing drugs and trauma, and right. they don't forget, and they don't, they forgive, but they never forget. So, you know, it's sort of like you'll always see this. You'll see very rarely men trying to ruin their ex-wife's life. Like you said, if a man hates his ex-wife, he'll just kill her, you know, he'll just shoot her.
Yeah. That's, I'm telling you, that comparison, I've thought about it before. I think it's pretty accurate. Women will fuck, because the worst thing you can do to a guy is destroy his reputation, because then you can't get a job. You can't meet other chicks. You can't, it's the worst possible thing that you can do to a guy. You know, you can key my car. You can, you know, smash the windshield or whatever. I can fix all that shit. It ain't no big thing. But the minute that you go around saying this dude's like an abuser or something along those lines, you're totally SOL.
Yeah, except for the fact that I've gone through a lot of things personally that have been like, that people say would have been like horrible. And guess what I did? I just, to this day, ignored it. And it's fine. My life's been completely fine. Just didn't give it credence. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm used to it as a public figure. Like, people just say things and I'm just like, I don't care. Fuck you. Like, I don't even argue with people, because what's the point of being gay and arguing with a woman? That doesn't even make sense. Why are you going to argue with a woman? Like, that's like a woman trying to fist fight a man, right? It's stupid. Like, don't fist fight me. You're going to get fucking killed. Don't argue with a woman because there's no conclusion to the argument. The argument, once you begin and you continue, the only way you win is by quitting. Like once you quit that argument, you go, okay, I'm done. I'm out. That's very when true. You won. You don't ever lose an argument with a woman. You're losing. You're in a perpetual state of loss as long as you're engaged in it, you know? And you're like, I have a really good point right now. I'm just going to text this, or I'm just going to call them and I'm going to figure it out. No, you're not. You dumb. You're a fucking idiot. No, you're not going to.
You're going to lose. You're not going to pass go. You're not going to collect $200. You're going straight to the fucking doghouse every time.
You're losing. You're lost. You're currently losing. Even if your point is perfect, if you send that, you're still losing. So just you, because it's, and it doesn't matter, because this, even if you can win and shut this up, the only way you're probably going to shut up an argument is if you show some force and you remind women what men are, and you go, hey, fucking cut that shit out, and they see it in your voice, in your mind, that they've pushed you to your limit and they just want it to stop. That's a good, that can be used sometimes. It has to be the right place and time. Not driving fear into them, but just like, hey, remember, your safety is on my hands, and I'm not going to lay a finger on you or anything, but just so you know what I'm capable of, you should stop. That's important. And that works with kids too, right? It works with kids a lot.
Yeah, but you spank the shit out of your kids. That's tough.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but sometimes, yeah, exactly. Sometimes, but do you know what do you think about this? They used to spank wives. Wives used to get spanked.
I know.
Bring that back?
Crazy. Yeah, sure. Why the fuck not? Who gives a shit, dude? I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know, dude. I've never been married. I've had a lot of tumultuous relationships. And you know what? The funny part is I've probably caused all the problems in all of those. I made those women go crazy because I didn't have a really solid role model for what a relationship should be. My parents are both divorced twice. And my dad married a stripper after he got divorced from my mom. Maybe that's why I think it's a good little coming of age thing to do. But I had no role model for what I should do in a relationship, how to treat a woman. I had nothing. I had nothing growing up, and I'm kind of learning trial by fire. And I've never really figured out the proper way to treat women. And I think that today I've learned that. I think it's all about managing. You've taught me a lot today.
Well, I've learned the hard way too. Like, I've learned the hard way in terms of my producer was like, hey, here's this girl that I think can do some work for us in this area. Can we hire her? Can we do this? Because I don't know if people know, but I have this new show on, the Gateway Pundit. Like, even just today, we did 1 million views on just the episode today. It's doing nice. It's the best show. I've never had something that's done better than this. And we had an episode do 3 million views last week too, which is crazy. So it's like the first thing, which reminds me, and it's news, right? I'm talking about stories and giving angles. There's no cursing. It's very clean. But on the retrospect of that, it's like, the reason why that's been successful is because this company came to me and said, we want something. And what I did when they said, we want to make content with you, I did something that I never did before with content. I said, what is it that you're trying to accomplish through the content? And they're like, what do you mean? I go, are you looking to add reputational credibility for the sake of having video content paired with your text content? Are you looking for just being viral? So are you willing to sacrifice a little bit on the weight of the content, or maybe the accuracy of how, like, the title compared to the content? Are you looking for a substantiative, like trying to educate the audience? What is the point of the content? And that took them like weeks just to get back to me. Like, hey, we've never been asked that. I go, yeah, before you ask me, can we make content together? What do you want to do? Because let's figure out what the goal is of the content before we even discuss anything, right? Like, what is your goal here? And so I think with women, that's the problem, is that there isn't any goal. So what is the goal? As a man, or you're trying to make your wife trust you more, or your girl love you more, then you need to figure out, what is it that you want your girl to do? Do you want her to be less crazy? Then you need to make her life more predictable. If you want, I'm saying, you need to make it more predictable, and you need to make sure she's off hormones. Do you want her to give you better sex? Then probably work on giving her more affection that doesn't just require sexual contact. Make sure that you're honest with her so that she trusts you and feels emotionally safe with you, so she's wanting to give, you know, her body over more often. Like, meaning, I'm not saying that, you know, you should cater your whole life to women and their dumb bullshit. What I'm saying is that oftentimes we don't have the outcomes we want, but it's like we're not living our lives to achieve those outcomes. And so then we just blame the other person. And that's what women do to men. And we need to make sure we don't do that to them back. You know, dude, like, they're like, so that's all.
You know what's funny is that I said this earlier on the YouTube stream, but like, these women in this generation are all fucking crazy, but it's because of men. It really does. That's what it boils down to. Men need to make sure we take ownership of how fucking, like we were talking about accountability. It's very important. And as much as I like to bash women, because I think it's funny, and obviously we're embellishing a lot of this and exaggerating and whatnot, but we have a lot of good points too mixed in there. But men do need to take accountability for creating a lot of these crazy bitches. You remember, what's that guy, the black guy, something Peterson, you know what I'm talking about?
Jesse Lee Peterson, JLP.
Yeah, he goes, he's interviewing this chick, and she goes, I don't think because I go on a lot of dates with guys that makes me a slut. And he says, yeah, I do. And she's like, well, what if, she says, well, if you were to go on a bunch of dates with girls, what does that make you? And he says, a slut maker. He's totally right, dude. As crazy as that fucking guy is, or based, or whatever you want to call it, he is totally right, though. Men are the ones that have created these female monsters, whether it's absent fathers, shitty fathers, our total breakdown in our society. It is really up to men, because men do lead in this society, and we've created a bunch of weak men and psycho bitches, and our society, we're witnessing, honestly, we are kind of witnessing the death of an empire right now with the decadence in our values and whatnot. And I'm probably part of that problem too, because I'm a little bit of a degenerate lunatic, like I said earlier, and I'll own that, because I do like to have a good time, but I just still believe in a lot of the traditional values. And I think that they can mesh together in a way, but I do think that, guys got to step it up too, not just women.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, and maybe I'm wrong with this, but it's like, look, there's two options here. We either take all their rights away and just stop acknowledging their infantile behavior, right? So that's a real option.
Okay, the Islamic route.
The route that our founders created, like pre-1960s, when like it was like, yeah, like women should not be voting, because voting, even I shouldn't be voting. I shouldn't even be voting now until I own property and stuff. Like, you should not be voting until you're a noble man, married with children, or have good character and own land. Like, there should be high standards. Like, it shouldn't even just be you're 18 and you're a man, you can go vote. Fuck you. No, you shouldn't be allowed to go do that. Maybe some exceptions, even, where if you've served in the military or something, like you've done something to sacrifice for your country,
honor, voting should be very,
something very similar. And I think women should vote in terms of that. I think if a married man should have two votes, that's what I think. I think a married man, that gives him more say because he's got two votes. And I've even thought about having kids giving you quarter votes or whatever it is. Like, men that get, have families and wives, and people should have some more authority in terms of the way they cast votes, even if it's local elections. The reason why people don't like simple solutions is because they're true, and truth is difficult to swallow. And I mean that, like, when you tell people you just eat too much and you're lazy, that's why you're fat and disgusting. And it's like, that's so rude. It's always fat people. I eat so
I got a thyroid problem.
Yeah, I walk. No. You're lazy and you're a glutton. And that's why I want to go to scriptural background. You are not an alcoholic. You do not suffer with a disease. You are a drunkard. Okay. And yeah, you may have alcoholism and you may have an allergy, like they call it, right, to alcohol, where you react differently than people. That's all might be true, but ultimately you have a problem that you are a drunkard. You're not a victim. Don't make your whole life about your recovery and your alcoholism. Like, you've got to like have some balance there. Because then you can end up, you know, a dry drunk, right? You're not drinking, but you're just a piece of shit, right? You need to like make sure you're developing yourself. So my point is, with the whole idea of men and women, I agree with you. I think all we have is a world where we don't take responsibility for ourselves. And this is why I see a lot of young people who know the truth, who walk around realizing that like Jews are in control of the world, which is like true statement. But like, if you're walking around all day being like Jews control the whole world, and that's making you angry and you're not like growing personally. Like, that's what I meant, is a lot of people end up victim mentality. Like, well, Jews control everything. Okay, buddy, but they're okay. Yes, but that's not forcing you to eat McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, well, fast food companies, like, it's like, dude, just, you know, like, yeah, that's my point about men. Like, well, women are crazy and women suck. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't stop you from becoming a man that can attract a balanced woman. Yeah. And as a balanced woman, it's also in your family, like, like you said, I would say don't marry a stripper. The problem that men have today is that we because of porn, we want the sluts, kind of.
We
want the sluts, but we can't marry them. So it's like we love whores, but love to hate whores.
Oh.
And that's why that's our main problem, is we're driven by our dicks and we're not thinking straight. So we're thinking actually too straight, I should say. We're thinking way too straight today.
We're thinking too hard.
We're getting too stiff-minded, but it's that's what it is. And so with these wholesome girls, a lot of times, to avoid being a whore, wholesome girls also are fat. And I've noticed this, that a lot of girls in the church are overweight. But if you could be pretty as a girl, just be modest. That doesn't mean you have to be a burqa, but be modest and be pretty. And I promise you, men will be attracted to you. There you go.
Yeah, no, I totally resonate with the thing you said about the whores. Totally, totally, totally true. It's weird. I love them, but I hate them. And that might also be a reflection of how I feel about myself when I act like a piece of shit sometimes. I love myself, but I hate myself. We need to put Ozempic in the water. What do you think about that?
Dude, we need to put them in a Stanley cup. So it needs to be built into the straw, right? That's what we should do. Ozempic straws. That's such a good sketch. Now, like, get your bitch a Stanley now, but built in Ozempic. And then like, that's what they need, man. I am not joking with this. I want to know your truth about this, that maybe you agree with me. About 90% of women just need to lose like 10 pounds. Like,
yeah.
Like, what is going on with women? Like, women, whatever men have going for them right now, we're like, fitness culture is getting back in vogue, you know, I just aged myself saying in vogue, but you know, just getting back into style. Women need that, because there's too many bitches out there with too much self-confidence that need a little bit of humbling, because they are not looking good and thin. You know, dude, if you're not thin, not emaciated, but if you are fit, even if you're not that hot, I see girls at the gym that have kind of ugly faces that have they work on their bodies and they have no problem getting male attention.
Absolutely.
They have no problem.
I would take a girl that's a butterface with a nice body over a 300 pounder.
Yeah. Well, even 180, you know, these women are, let's just be honest. Like, women need to understand being fat is like
the worst.
What could you compare it to? Maybe like walking in on your boyfriend watching gay porn or something, like something that would make you repulsed. Being heavy as a woman is like repulsive. It's like a
guy that doesn't shower, has bad hygiene and smells like shit. I imagine that's bad for
maybe
women.
bad breath. Maybe I don't want to get into my own personal life, but I have found that women sometimes do appreciate a stinky guy. You know what I mean? Let's just say that. I'll leave it.
That's fair.
I'll leave it at that.
That's a different, that could potentially be a different thing. But I mean, like a guy that's like, I don't know. That's true.
Is there any chicks in the chat? What is that compared to? If with men, when you see a girl who has potential for beauty, but she's chunky, and I don't mean good chunky, where like she's just soft and she's got big hips or whatever. Not like that. I'm talking about like where she's got like her chin is hanging down, and like we're not talking about like a you know, a little baby pouch. We're talking about like you were talking about a girl who just clearly eats a lot of fast food and she's just not looking good, right? Is there any comparison to that in men that you guys would know? Or if men, do you know anything about that?
It's probably just fat dudes too. There's tons of fat dudes too, you know?
And I think it's a lie that women like dad bods. I feel like that's got to be a lie. Yeah, I don't.
That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Dude, you know what you were saying earlier about porn?
Yeah.
It's very bad. When I was a teenager, like every teenage kid, I watched a lot of it, like all the time. And then I don't really watch it at all anymore. Because I am somewhat of a ladies' man, if I do say so myself. They say I have the Kavorka, the sauce that makes women go nuts. But here's the thing. I think porn is very bad because I also think that it I have no problem with like promiscuity or kinks or whatever. You just keep that shit in your bedroom. That's how I feel about it. The problem is I feel like it's making guys worse with a lot of guys worse with women. And sure, more for me, I could look at it that way. But I think that society as a whole, we should all be strong. But I think it's making women want to cheat. And I don't have real like a real, it's just a gut feeling I have because I feel like cheating is getting more out of control. I watch some of these red pill videos that pop up on my Instagram and it's like these guys busting in on their girlfriends. You know, there's so many, maybe it's just shown more now because everybody has a phone and people for some reason want to record their, you know, them finding out that their partner's cheating on them. But I just feel like it's getting worse and worse. I could be wrong.
That's also weird too, by the way, people wanting to use record their personal problems for
clicks.
Yeah. For like clicks. Like I don't see the appeal in that. Yeah. What's weird about me is like, because the cheating thing and that side of thing, like obviously if we're talking about like morality or what's good, it's not good for either, but it also matches up with a male reproductive strategy because men typically like, I would say men are more with like wanted harems, right? If you're wealthy, you see that's the first thing they do. Even the Muslims got like four wives. The Mormons are even on that. I love the Mormons because they're like the most like moral people. And then the Mormons are like, yeah, but we still like to have like six wives. And you're like, all right. Okay. So you're still normal. Like you're a normal guy. Oh, yeah. So polygamy has made me respect Mormons, not the opposite. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
No,
but it does to me. But on the flip side, and I've talked about this even with my wife and stuff, I think the natural tendency would be for a man to go towards a harem or to go in this direction. Do I think it's good? Obviously, I don't. I mean, that's debatable in there. But I'm saying with women, because when you even had a harem, the kings had harems and like the women still couldn't go out and like they would like they had a eunuchs that would tend to the harem. Right. So yeah, like you still couldn't be sleeping with other men.
But they were with the king. So they were the biggest dick in the land.
Let's be feminist here. But aren't you a king? Aren't you a king man out there? But don't you have some respect for yourself? All I'm saying is the woman cheating with like a lot of partners, to me, I think it's a new thing, or like not new, it's in Weimar, but I mean, like, I feel like that's the sign of like collapse is like the women are going out and it's not their natural reproductive strategy to sleep with a lot of men. That's there's always been whores and prostitutes,
right?
And there's always been, but I would say like 3/4 of women are whores now.
I'd say,
am I wrong on that?
But no, I would say half to 3/4 probably. And again, it's one thing if you're a stripper or a prostitute, that's a profession. You're a professional whore. I actually respect that more than just a random normal woman being a whore, like a civilian whore. It's like, you're not even making money off. Like, what the fuck are you doing? But dude, the thing is hypergamy has always existed. That's a natural part of a woman's brain and the way it processes and understands men and relationships. They always want to date up. That exists. But, This sleeping around recklessly for no social gain, like I said, with the professional, the prostitute being a professional whore and a civilian just being a whore, it doesn't make sense. There's no gain to it. I think it's just become popularized, and I don't know. I feel like a lot of these chicks end up regretting a lot of the guys they sleep with. Again, because I hang out with a lot of women of the night, and a lot of them have told me this, and then a lot of them don't care. A lot of them don't give a shit, and to each their own, sure. But
Dude, because there's nobody more wicked. Like, I actually think, you know, women always say that men don't feel bad about stuff. I think men do.
Yeah.
And I think we do feel regret, but some women, like I like some of the callousness in some of these women that are out there. And it's crazy to me. Like women will come, like you said, to ruin your reputation or ruin your life, and they'll feel happy about it. Like it's twisted. Right. Like they're like, they feel good about being evil. And the publicizing of personal drama to me is the most distasteful thing, which is why we don't cover it on the show. We do zero. This show, we will never publicize or cover personal drama. Like that's just, we do not do that. And the reason why I don't do that is because I've seen a lot of shows do that and it's beneath them. Like I know that's real tough to say considering what we've been talking about today, stuff being beneath the show, but you know, these are my real, but what I mean is in like, I'm aware that we're having a public conversation. This is public, but we are not private. Like you said, where it's like, okay, well, you know, I'll have sex with my wife in my bedroom. So let's watch porn together on the screen. No, that's not how it works. Like you have to have a division between private and personal. There has to be some sacredness to like your own personal information, your own personal life. Like you can tell stuff about yourself. That's fine, but not about other people. And I don't like that. I think the cheapening of that and even of information is related to the sexual, you know, intercourse. And I think what's insane is, and this is why I think there has to be laws and stuff against this, men, like, man, if you don't want to sleep around men, if you don't, if you do, it's really easy. But if you don't, you have to really work hard to not sleep around, actually, because there's so much whoredom available to you.
Yeah.
It's like you have to, it's like when you hear a guy that isn't, you know, is controlling himself, if he's attractive, has money, blah, 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 if he's living a celibate life, you actually gain a lot of respect, even if you don't think it's, you know, you and guys need to do that or whatever. It's just like if you find that a guy looks at zero porn, it's like, hey, that's really respectable because, you know, whether you're doing it for religious motivations or anything, that just shows a lot of discipline because porn is, you know, nudes in bio on every post on X. You know?
It's like, everywhere.
It's like, so it's hard to not look at any of it because it's everywhere. So all I'm saying is that it's kind of funny because you almost don't even have to be a Christian or anything, but you realize that it's almost like being Christian's like the cool, hard lifestyle now because to like, you know, protect yourself, be pure, try to be respectful, but also still be not be a loser, right? You want to be called to change the country, change your nation for the better. It's kind of like the counterculture today, in my opinion. That's what I think. I don't know.
No, I see what you're saying. I think that's probably a legitimately accurate statement. There's a Sturgill Simpson song where he's going, there's a line like, the most outlaw thing that a man can do is find a good woman and give her a ring. That's, I think, kind of what you're saying. And the fact that that's in a like an outlaw country song is sort of, you know, I think it supports your point. I definitely do think that, being Christian is definitely, it's definitely counterculture. That's for damn sure. I don't know if it's like outlaw, like I just said, maybe my statement.
It's outlaw here though. We're like, we're an entirely atheist country here in Australia. So it's it's weird to be a Christian here. Like that's definitely a weird
thing. It's not normal.
No. Like when I mean not normal, I mean like, especially if you're a Bible believing Christian, AKA a real Christian, like you actually believe in the Bible and the teachings. You are, dude, they like, it's like so bad here that like, the government just took over a bunch of private Catholic hospitals and removed all the crosses out of there because they wouldn't provide abortions. And they claim that they're like violating human rights. Like, it's like, there's like being a Christian here is like dangerous.
They just outlawed,
like if a pastor tells, you can go to jail as a pastor for telling a kid that they don't need to be trans. Like, that's how bad it's gotten here. It's very counterculture.
The trans stuff is beyond the pale. That stuff's insane. That's child abuse. The trans kid stuff is totally insane. You know, but also on the flip side of that, in Texas, there's some of these like mega churches and stuff, and they're like total cults.
Oh, I know.
They're insane.
Oh, dude, I have a business in Texas. I'm very aware up in Frisco, and I go to some churches, and you're like, the heck is this?
What is going on in here? Yeah, they're not. They're like. It's just fucking weirds me out.
They're flying, drummers flying across the sky, literally like on wires. And you're like,
dude, you remember when? Yeah. And there's like a whole light show that's better than like a fucking Metallica concert. Dude, you know, another thing I wanted to touch back on that I had written down that I wanted to come back to was earlier you said a guy can say you know, the Jews are running the world, or you, how you put it in your words. But if you become obsessed with that and that becomes your personality, that's bad. You know who I think kind of does that sometimes? And I think it's because a lot of these guys are like traumatized. It's a lot of the red pill community. They have a lot of good points, and they put out a lot of good stuff that needs to be spoken about. But sometimes the stuff that they're talking about, I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. At a certain point in time, you don't want to make that your whole thing, you know?
It's about being balanced. And that's why I can respect people who make one thing their own, their whole thing. And I think that's just called autism. But like genuinely, like I think a lot of these guys are actually like severely autistic. And I think the reason why autistic people, you know, do well on the media is because it's kind of like a self-driven entrepreneurial thing where you don't have to work with a lot of others and you can sort of create your own media empire and work with people remotely, which I think is really easier. And also I think that getting fixated is dangerous, and probably the only reason why this show hasn't fully been taken off the air yet is because we can have somebody on and go really hard on an issue with them if that's what they care about. But then the next show we're talking about black women in plays and like
fingering buttholes and stuff.
Like yeah, fingering buttholes. I mean, like, and it's like, and it makes people angry because it's like people tell me that all the time, like, why don't you talk about the Jews more? And you're like, dude, okay, look, I literally just said on the show that they run the world. And sometimes we'll talk about Israel and what's really going on. And meaning I'm not a pussy. I'm not afraid to talk about it. Like, I think what's bad is if you're afraid to really focus on real issues. That's what's bad for money. So if you're like, if someone's like, hey, I want to talk about Israel and Jews, and you're like, no, we don't talk about that. Like, let's avoid that. Then it's like, okay, well now you're a cuck. But like, you know, to me, an average person, like we should focus on the Fed, the families behind it, how our currency has been co-opted by Zionists, and how that's created an economy which forces women to work, and they've introduced feminism, and you know, they currently run the biggest, you know, school board lobbies, yada, yada, yada. We can go through that. That's all true. However, if today you don't go to the gym and you eat like shit and you masturbate to, you know, furry porn, you're going to feel bad whether the Christians or the Jews are running the world. Yeah. Like, ultimately speaking, it's okay to be consistently talking about issues until we resolve them. But if that projection is at expense of developing your own character and yourself, then you're actually working. You're your own enemy. You're the Jew in your own life. You should start wearing a little hat and do your tefillin, because you are an enemy of yourself. And I feel like a lot of the red pill community ends up, because they're autistic, which I am too, so it's not a big deal, end up forgetting that in the real world, men are married, their marriages are important to them, they have kids, parenting is important to them, they have jobs, providing is important to them, so right. Investing, like there's a lot of issues that are really important, and talking about the meta, right? Like meta is important, overarching who controls what, but if that's all you talk about, sometimes it may actually make you go crazy because you're not solving real issues. You're just talking about what could be. So I agree with you on that. And the red pill community talks a lot about issues that are outside of men's control rather than giving them actual solutions in their own personal life.
And it's like the pyramid of needs, right? At the bottom of the pyramid is all the stuff like working out, eating healthy, yada, yada, get some fucking sunlight, go talk to somebody. Like if you're going to be living in that bubble of the, on your phone or on your computer in the red pill, in that little bubble, you are going to go completely insane, and it's not going to make you feel any better either. That's the other thing. Talking about your problems all the time is only going to bring negative energy into your life. You should be talking about positive shit, going out there and getting stuff done, because, and dude, honestly, this might sound, I don't even know if this is really accurate, but it is possible that some of these guys have created these situations where women fuck them over because they weren't being a man in the first place. I've had some women do some bad shit to me, and I think it was pretty much because I did not treat them well. And that's on me. So, you know, in over a period of time, I was like, oh, these bitches are all crazy. And then I was like, all right, dude, maybe I might be the common denominator here. maybe I need to be a better man.
Well, yeah. And also to give you the conclusion on that, look, they might be shitty, and the chances are the women, I know you're taking responsibility like you should, because women don't. They obviously do play a part in it, but it's kind of like the same thing. So rather than me you know, I ran into some issues with females before many times in my life. And so then that's when I just stopped having female friends because I realized that, you know, maybe you could just say I'm not like not mature enough to have them, meaning like, you know, I'm just not going to, as a married man, have female friends. That's not going to be a thing, type of thing. Yeah. And also I'm not going to hire, as I was mentioning the other thing, my producer wanted to hire a girl and I'm like, look, if she's really remote, I'm not working with her. I'm not talking with her directly. I just don't want to work in that regard. I've had very bad experiences with that. And I don't want to deal with that. Is that sexist of me? Maybe, but it's also practical. Cause I'm like, dude, I don't want any headaches. Like if no employee is worth a lawsuit down the road because you made a joke they didn't like, it's kind of like marriage courts. Oh, like the courts are in their favor. So I don't want to work with these people to where, you know, I have no problems with any guys I've worked with or anything. And I have made up problems with females like that I've dated or anything, you know? And I go, I want to save myself the headache. So I think we have to be really cautious though. And in the end, I think someone in the chat said we were talking directly to them. It's like, I want to communicate to everybody all the time. I want to put a picture up real quickly. And I'm actually going to say this guy's a legend. He's a legend and I'm not shit talking him at all. Okay. I just find this part of the environment to be interesting. Let me play two videos. This guy, he's a creator.
Are you kidding me, law enforcement? Are you kidding me? Tonight in Grand Rapids, multiple law enforcement officers stood behind Donald Trump as he spoke. People that are elected officials like sheriffs, others hired to protect and enforce the law for the entire citizenry, not for a political party, explicitly forbidden from being a partisan authoritarian police force, standing on stage, entirely unethical, probably illegal, on top of which Donald Trump has been indicted 91 times. He's liable for sexual assault. His entire business was found to be fraudulent. And law enforcement has the fucking gall to stand on stage with him. Enough is enough.
Okay, relax, bud. I know this guy, he's a creator. And that's what I meant about brain rot, is it's like, dude, some police standing on a stage is going to make you, I hope it's performative, but it's going to make you lose your mind. A lot of us are that guy though. We look at that and we laugh, but a lot of us are just exacerbating our energy and our time over literally nothing. And everyone just needs to take a step back and realize that everybody's going through stuff. Nobody's got a perfect solution. And I love this guy. And I want to show you this guy. I put up a picture of him today. I saw this post and I said, most men will look at this and just say, hell yeah, check this out. F Joe Biden's America. And what a legend this guy is. David Tapley, by the way, he is a born a patriot, die a patriot. He's a patriot for life. He's a Trump supporter and he's against porn. He's a legend. But he's right. F Joe Biden's America. All I'm going to conclude on, so I'll give you your out here, is in the end, if all we're focused on is Joe Biden's America, Joe Budden, you know, my brother-in-law always texts me that. He'll be like, how's your day? He'll be like, the Democrats are in power so bad. He's joking. You know, it's like, hey, man, are you doing okay? I heard you're sick. Pelosi's still in office, buddy. How can I be doing okay? And it's like that he's joking, but that's how people are, you know? Yeah. So I just want to remind people that even though I feel bad because I feel like I add to the problem. I feel like I'm like an escort who feels bad for like the men who sleep with me. Like it's like, I know I do culture. I know I do a podcast. I know we do outrage. I know we discuss stuff. But also, if you think that all this really matters and it's not anything more than just some entertainment that we're just discussing the world and, you know, enjoying it because we all think a lot, then you're missing the point and you got to relax. Go lift some weights, touch grass. Smoke grass. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't do that. But do whatever you're going to do in your life. Just stop being upset about it and laugh. Never stop laughing. I'll give you the last word here. Scary Gary, give us a word, an exit here, final thoughts, and then go ahead and plug yourself and where we can find and follow you.
I think that what we've taken away today is there's a couple of things, mainly that as a man, we are responsible for the collapse of our civilization, Western civilization, and we need to be upholding the principles and tenets that once made it all great. Number two, women are fucking nuts. And number three is that we don't want to be putting ourselves into a bubble, into a one dimensional freak show, you know, screaming at the end of the camera, yelling at our phones about the Jews or about Donald Trump or about women or about strippers or whatever it has, whatever in your life is at the front of your mind. Go out, work out, eat healthy, talk to people, keep a positive mindset, and stop having excuses.
Stop having excuses. All right. Scary Gary, thanks for coming on, guys. To all of you guys at Rumble, thank you so much again for supporting. Right above Scary Gary, you can find the link there. You guys got to sign up to Censored TV. It's a great way to join the community and to support the show directly. I'm going to see, I don't know if we had any super chats during this. I don't think we had any on Rumble, which is weird. But we do have a couple on Locals, as you guys can share them. Some of you guys had shared this. I think we have this here. Here's, I could both bring us up on the screen. There you go. I guess that's me in Opera House to the Juliet saying N. And then I think we have, where's the chat? Okay. Alex Lindquist said, Elijah, I turned 21 yesterday. Alex, Alex is also voted most likely to become a premature alcoholic. He's someone in our chat, but I just feel like he has the propensity towards being an alcoholic. No, I'm kidding. Congratulations. I'm just trying to scare people because quickly you start drinking and then you're 31. And then your hangovers last all day instead of just the morning.
Days.
And yeah, no, well, the haze is even worse. It's like, then you're like screwed over for a couple days. You have to reset your whole life. Doomsday Cracker said, she may not look like Juliet, but I could see her shake a spear. Or see her Shakespeare. Oh, that's disgusting. Vince Lasagna said, instead of fluoride, the government should put Ozempic in the water.
That's what I'm fucking talking about. Look, yeah. I had an idea the other day, too. Look. Put testosterone in the cereal. You know, they have those pesticides in the Cheerios and the Quaker Oats, like 80%. Yeah. Put test in there. Let's get these kids jacked. Let's get them strong. Let's get back to, you ever seen those workout videos from the 50s and 60s? They're doing monkey bars. They're doing the wall. They're climbing the rope. Everybody's jacked out of their minds. We need to go back to that.
Oh, I agree. No, dude, 100%. That's why what's the average taco said, wait, where is that? Average taco sent $20 and said, next weekend is Black Spring Break. 30,000 black people will twerk on cars, shootings, etc. Last year, they shot a cop, murders, and drive-bys. The city is afraid to be labeled racist for shutting it down. I love the super chats. Just want to let us know that the black community is always wild. And thank you. And then someone else became a member today on this. I guess we'll find it next time. But one of you guys became a member during the chat. And so I thank you guys. I'll find you. It's my average taco. But one of you guys became a member. So thank you for that. To the rest of you guys watching, as always, have a great rest of the week. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out. I'll see you on Friday. We should have a debate. And also don't forget, there is an exclusive show. We do an extra show Thursday nights that's only on Censored TV. So Ryan... Pat Dixon, the producer for Gavin McGinnis Show, is on tomorrow night. So you're not going to want to miss it. 10 p.m. Eastern time, only on censored.tv. Promo code OFFENSIVE for 20% off a membership. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.